morning, everybody! It is Friday, and the weekend is upon us, and that always means the start of a brand new show. We are joined this morning by the Right Honourable, the Prime Minister of Iceland, Leanne Moll. Hooray!
Iceland.
The crowd goes wild.
Iceland's the same as Greenland.
Hey. Iceland is the same as Greenland. It doesn't matter. It's got land at the end. It's going to be mine. I'm going to take it all.
Ice.
And and the first explorer of Greenland, Ben Karpinski. Hello. Hooray! Hello. There he is. Good morning.
I thawed out for the show just for this.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so let's comment on the Betway 20, SA20. SA20. There it is.
Yeah, guys, this is it. Eh? No, so going to the final this weekend, flying out right now.
Yeah, you're going to the big game. It's on Sunday, right?
So obviously my big accreditation is the thing I couldn't forget.
Oh, good.
Okay, so this is for Cape Town, right? For Sunday, but you're wearing it now.
Leanne, like I just said, literally 3 seconds ago, of all the things I can't forget in packing, it's this.
So you're going to wear it from now until Sunday?
You know what? I'm actually going to, because it looks obnoxious.
Yeah.
I'm
going to No, it's cool. It. I think it's a good thing.
It's like, where you go?
You've got to be careful it's with like that
the,
sort of thing.
So I don't know if you guys saw, but do you remember when our government started going to Davos and they all used to wear those stupid South African scarves? Do you remember those? That was a big thing. It was like the uniform of dorks.
And then our government. And then when Cyril lost the Rugby World Cup bid for us, he was wearing it.
He was
too.
Wearing it.
He was so, trying to Davos.
So they wore those.
There.
It's like the ANC green, black, and yellow jackets, those patchwork leather jackets they wore. There's like a uniform. And if you don't have that uniform, then you're not a comrade. So they all wore those things at Davos, and Davos was this week, obviously, in Switzerland. A gathering of the world elite, supposedly, but actually increasingly more and more irrelevant. And less people are paying attention to it, except this year, bit of a sea change. I didn't notice our president there. I think only Enoch Godongwana, our Minister of Finance, was there. Because, first of all, we have nothing to tell them. Like we have literally.
Can we brag about the G20 and how our traffic lights worked for a week?
Ben,
how Cyril addressed the entire world with that?
In a world where
we had no pavement weeds for a weekend.
Yeah. In a world where there are massive protests and ongoing tensions in Iran, where dictators are removed from their bath and bed in Venezuela and Caracas in the middle of the night, in a world where a huge sheet of ice over a large island is up for grabs and America's making its claims.
It's not up for grabs. But
who
anyway.
Is listening to Cyril Ramaphosa? That's the truth.
It's a bit deflating, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's a bit deflating for him. I mean, I don't think South Africa's been less relevant in the international scene since we were still ruled by the National Party under apartheid. That was probably the last time we mattered so little.
We're still in everyone's mouths, though.
Who?
No, that's because
people are still
sport.
Talking about us.
That's because of sport.
You think it's sport? That's it? Who else is talking about us?
There are still American politicians mentioning South Africa.
Only negatively.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. We're still in everyone's mouths.
Yeah, well, yes. And apparently Heidi Jokos, who is with ENC,
yes, she's there.
She asked Trump at Davos. Are you ever going to, talk to South Africa again? Are you still cross with us, like playground? She thinks everyone's at nursery school. She goes, are you going to talk to South Africa again, even though there's no genocide happening? Which is like this tired old line. Trump doesn't believe it. He goes, well, we've seen the statistics. We see the numbers. We don't care. He's like, he doesn't give a shit. He still knows what's going on. And he says he has better info than we do. I just want to say this. If you think that propaganda and spin is going to get you out of a situation where you know for a fact that the United States has technology that probably enables them to read every government WhatsApp, they probably know exactly who Cyril's cheating on the side with or who he's having conversations or sending dick pics to. I guarantee you they know that. They have all the back ends with Apple. They know how various devices. Don't tell me Cyril's using some crappy Xiaomi Chinese. He's got a iPhone 17.
Remember he
17.
Said his iPad. Where's my iPad?
Yeah, he's always losing his iPad.
What if Cyril's got a Surfshark Tag Cyril 10 for 10% discount. Is that not how he ends up his newsletters every week?
No, but the point is, like, if you think that the U.S. intelligence agencies and information gathering services are not so good that they can break into an ANC WhatsApp group, then you're fast asleep. So it doesn't matter what we tell them in meetings.
But who's going to translate the vernac?
Oh, oh, please, man. They've got people who can work out what hieroglyphs mean. These are very, very smart. It's not like our intelligence agencies where most of the people only wake up at 10 in the morning. No, seriously, we've got the NIA, the National Intelligence Agency.
We have a space agency as well.
Oh, yeah, we do. Well, we've got some nice telescopes in the Karoo. That's good. But it just astonishes me that people think that in 2026 you still need to rely on like an ambassador carrying a letter to the president of a country. People can see what's going
on. Information.
Yeah, people can break into these things. There are probably more eyes on them than have ever been on these kinds of communications. And, you know, I mean, just this morning there's a story that tells something to this effect. You've got the story about how, like, iOS devices have been broken into. You know, hundreds of apps have been leaking information. So if anybody thinks that these are covert things, that it's encrypted end to end and that's going to save you, I've got very bad news for you. It's like, it's all out there.
Yeah. 198 iOS apps have found to be leaking private chats and user locations.
There we go.
It's been called the AI slop security crisis. So they're all AI apps because people are downloading AI left, right, and center. We're
all
going to try something new.
And they're testing out some of these, which are probably quite dodgy. You know, some of them have just been set up.
20 million people exposed.
Well, some of these AI apps have probably just been set up with big promises about what they can do. And people go, well, I've tried Grok and I've tried Gemini and I've tried ChatGPT. Let me try this one. And then meanwhile, it's just there to break into your chats.
Wow.
That's it.
Yeah, I think my ChatGPT conversations aren't going to incriminate me too much.
Mine will, if anything, mine will drive away any interest.
Absolutely.
Would it attract psychologists?
Well, not even. I mean, yours might, but mine would bore everyone to death.
You know what? As this stuff continues and will only continue, it just shows that we need to start having private conversations in person.
Correct.
Because it's not you can't get in trouble.
Then you must still do like they do in the movies and check the lampshades and
totally. Absolutely.
The telephone receiver.
Go into every room thinking it's a 1970s James Bond movie.
With something shaped like a tennis racket that goes as you get closer to things that are picking
and
up.
And through the bottom of the telephone receiver.
Everything.
Oh, man. All right. So speaking of AI, James and Flex have worked out a game for us this morning. We have to guess whether something is AI or not.
Okay.
So it's a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very important, especially for the older generations.
But sometimes they try and catch you out on these. So they'll do something that looks really AI-ish.
Wow, Leanne, it's like you've played a game before.
Shut up, Ben.
Have you played Snakes and Ladders? Because I think the snakes are there to catch you out. Just guessing. All right, so you want to play?
Yes, let's go.
All right, guys, put up some images. Let's mess around first thing in the morning.
Let's get them all wrong.
Get people to wake up. All right, so AI or not, this is an actual online game. Let's try a couple of these, shall we? Let's see what we can find. Okay, AI or not, that's AI. It's just too perfect. The shadow, that's not an actual object.
I'm going to say not AI.
You're going to say not? Any guesses, Ben?
I mean,
I think it's
AI. Create that in animation.
It's illustrated.
It doesn't need to be AI.
It's just communicate. It's just why can't I talk? It's just an illustrated thing.
Ben. We all have these.
Use your words. Use your English words.
It's not how I thought this game was going to go.
You know what?
Not AI.
Not AI.
Okay, those two say not. Let's see whether we're right or not.
Oh, fuck off.
What was it?
AI.
Okay, I was right. Okay, that is not AI.
I say AI.
It's a crap photograph. No, I mean, AI wouldn't generate something so crap.
It's not AI.
And is it the cape?
No.
Is it just anyway?
It's probably the Amalfi Coast. Okay, go with not AI. It's AI.
Why? Oh, what's been AI?
Okay, that is definitely AI.
It looks like AI, so I'm going to say not AI.
Sorry, guys, we go through this very quickly. Can we just go back? What's been modified to this picture?
I don't know if you can go back.
Like
We can't go back, Ben.
Sorry.
Computer, Ben.
Fuck.
Computer says no.
I haven't played a game before.
All right, this one?
Look, it's catching you out because it looks like it's AI. So in other words, it's not AI.
Yeah,
not a fuck.
Also, we've had two AIs, so now it's time for an AI.
I just want to say before we decide on this, if that is AI, not surprised. If it is not AI, it is absolutely one of the most beautiful photographs I've seen. Okay? Yeah. Let's go with AI. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay, that's clearly
not AI. That's just Paris.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, it almost looks like it's AI, but it's
head confused. Looks a bit the thing. Big for its
The head's a bit big for where, like.
Wait. I think it's AI.
I'm
like, his body has to be big. Right?
The body's very well positioned behind this old lady's.
By the way, if you're only listening to the audio part of the podcast, this is going to be extremely boring for you.
So sorry.
Why didn't you like looking at us?
Let's go with AI on this one.
See, I knew.
Yay. Yeah.
All right.
Basically,
what the
all
hell's
AI.
That? What is that?
You know what? If you're going to play a game, AI or not, it's got to be something that looks relatively. That's like.
That could be a hubcap. It could be a painter's.
Is that a testing tray of like condiments?
Could be eyeshadows.
Not AI.
That is the most boring picture I've ever seen in my life.
Not AI.
By the way, if you've got a screensaver that looks like that on your phone, you're just the dreariest accountant
in the
universe.
You're a mass murderer.
Or a mass murderer, yeah.
Not AI. Let's go.
Not. Okay, easy one. All right, that looks.
So this is the thing where I couldn't talk in the first one. This is just an illustrated graphic.
Yes.
You can't call that AI. AI is when you're perverting visuals to try and like.
Not perverting. I mean, some AI generation.
But this is just an illustration. Like this game sucks, guys.
Did you guys hear the interview Ben Affleck and Matt Damon did with? I think it was Rogan.
Not yet.
Okay, yeah, because I listened to a little bit of it. I'm not that interested in the movie world. Fascinating. They got into a conversation about AI, and Ben Affleck said he doesn't see the current writing skills of AI as being a particular threat to really creative people because it uses a mean. It uses an average of what human beings are putting in and whether they're happy with the responses. So it's coming up with kind of dreary, middle-of-the-road shit. And you can always tell if something's AI because they say things like, this is dynamic and exciting, not blah, 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 blah. So they use the same kind of formula.
Same flow in
you
language.
Can tell. I mean, I can read a document and pretty much instantly guess. And I suppose, you know, it might be like this game where you have to take a 50-50 chance on things. I just find that and I very rarely find myself in agreement with Ben Affleck, but he's right about that. I think human creativity, part of the reason that we will still appreciate a painting that has been painted by human hand or a sculpture or a building design or an article of furniture or whatever, if it's been made by human hands or 3D printed or AI generated, it's always going to have more value because of the time investment that a human being, along with the craft and skill that you're not using machines as a tool either, by the way, because a tool is something which you would use with the craft.
I mean, think about it. The only time AI's copy or writing is not witty, clever, or humorous.
Oh, it's so dry.
The only time I've ever laughed at something AI generated is if it's fucked it up and it
yes,
put a hand
correct.
On the head or something.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Gareth, in that same interview, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon,
they
then go on to say, because people are so fucking stupid right now, all of plots have to be positioned into your face and they have to be repeated into your face.
Yes.
So all this craft you guys are both talking about right now, it's lost on the current dumbass audience.
Yes, that's true.
It's a Netflix thing. They have to repeat the plot or the name
so
of the movie
I'm
because
pretty sure
people
AI
have got
could,
split attention.
Of course there is. So that is why AI probably could do all these things.
Oh, no, look. There are going to be people who get away with it. There already are in business. You can see presentations that come across my desk, and I'm like, oh, God, this is bad. Mm. And sometimes they leave in the prompts and all that kind of thing, so it's obviously bad. But sometimes they've done just enough for it to look like, oh, this might have actually been an original idea. And then you dig a little deeper and you very quickly discover that it isn't. What I find fascinating is that despite all of the promise of AI, it just seems to me that so much of it is middle of the road.
You're right about
genuine creativity, and you don't need to be as brilliant to get the majority of people watching or listening, which is also why niched audiences are going to become more valuable. It's also why people are going to want exclusivity rather than inclusivity, because the monoculture, if I can call it that, the idea that everything is kind of the same, you know, music. Think about the fact that, and I know there are going to be people who like, I don't know, Sabrina Carpenter, for example, who's not bad, but we're not talking about breakthrough artists like there used to be. There are no people that stand head and shoulders above. You could argue Taylor Swift or Beyonce, but I really don't think that they're on a level of, you know, the greats of the past. And this is not me being ageist either. It's not me being disinterested in what's going on now as opposed to when I was younger, because that is a bias that we have to account for. But generally, if you look around, there seems to be this kind of middling.
So I can tell you why
averaging.
Music. I can tell you why music. Marijuana.
You think
since,
weed?
Since weed became so widespread and like ubiquitous with cool times, if you would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Music's about vibes now. It's not about feelings. It's not about sentiments. It's about stories. Music is purely about vibes. Lo-fi music, music in the background. And all those celebrities you just spoke to right now, none of them take proper drugs. None of them go through like amazing life experiences. So it's just vibes. And because they can make so much money, everything's packaged.
But I'm also hearing, like, you know, when music's played in the office with my Gen Zs, they're listening to Nirvana and shit.
Yeah, shit that we used to listen
because
to.
Because people are starting to get, starting to actually want something again, to feel something again. But I just don't think celebrities growing up now have anything to show that creates feeling. Whereas in the past, Kurt Cobain was dealing with all the demons, which ultimately ended with a shotgun to the face.
Yeah.
And that makes great fucking music. You're telling me that you've grown all up in a middle-class fucking house
so
and everything's okay, you've got Netflix in the evening. What sorrow or anguish or fucking pure joy are you bringing to music?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And then you go smoke a blunt.
Feel blunt.
And then you feel blunt, and then your music's blunt, and everything's
and
just a vibe.
And I would say it's perhaps true. I'm not going to completely agree with you, Ben. It's perhaps true that weed has played a part in this, but also antidepressants and Ritalin and things like that have just brought everybody
to levels everyone out.
It's just brought everybody to the boring middle.
Yes, but this is the whole thing with the ChatGPT is that people crave it because that's what they think is good enough. Because that's what they actually
and it is good enough to most people.
And it is. Yeah. And for most people reading this kind of shit, it's also good enough because they've been brought to the middle as well.
Right.
All these things have been bringing us to the middle, and being an outlier is really inconvenient because it makes people jealous. So if you're fit, strong, opinionated, funny, good looking, that kind
or
of stuff.
Or bipolar.
Rich, all these things. People fucking hate you because you've stepped out of the middle.
You've made it harder for them to be considered good because you're so much better than the average. Want to be average. A lot of people want to be average. So, if that's a good lesson to learn, then I'm glad I learned it. And Yonder says that conversation with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck was so boring I forgot I was listening to it.
So have you also noticed something about, like, I've been listening to Joe Rogan for a long time because he has the best access to guests. But have you ever noticed how when he gets an A-grade celebrity, how fucking boring they are?
Well,
I mean, I'm going through this Bradley Cooper thing now, and Bradley Cooper's a relatively interesting guy, nice movies, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But you can see these guys don't do podcasts. They do interviews where there is so much smoke blowing up their ass endlessly that they don't ever say anything too interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, these guys are quite boring.
The more famous someone is, the less likely you are to get anything really interesting out of them.
That's true, yeah.
They're very guarded. Their life is already more explored and more publicly well known than any other people's, and they are also like sports stars coached to be as boring as possible because they want to chase people to the product they're selling, whether it's a movie or song or whatever it might be, merchandise. So I just when people ask me who the most interesting people I've interviewed, it's very seldom celebrities.
So seldom.
Sometimes some random crackpot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the drunk guy off the street who was going for a job interview at an orthodontic practice that we had once on the show. I'll never forget that guy. He was drunk as fuck at like 8 in the morning.
I don't know if I was there, but I don't remember.
You would remember if you were there, trust me. Judas says, AI is getting too good for my liking. The show should do this game, AI or not, with videos instead. There's a lot on social media. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, this game's not quite working.
Yeah, that's so dreary, actually. James Flex, very bad job on that one.
It has to be a video / something that's like quite vital.
Bitcoin put standing up for weed, saying at least you can't OD on weed.
No, I know that, but it doesn't make anything fucking fantastic. It's just blunting everything.
I think that's a big problem. We've hit on something here with whether the weed smokers like it or not. And you guys smell bad.
Don't tell me Bob Marley's
smoking,
music was because
of weed.
It's
the gummies, too.
Bob Marley's music was because of liberation and a lot of fucking rebellion and tough times. It wasn't because he was smoking weed.
Mm. Yeah.
Bob Marley was like, there was a lot going on in his life. That's why he didn't live very long.
It's not as if there is a ton of amazing new reggae coming out of Jamaica right now. It's kind of plateaued.
I don't see Spotify showing me reggae's on the incline.
By the way, speaking of music, which I haven't thought about in any pop culture sense for a long time, you know that last year there was a period for about 3 or 4 months where it's the first time in, I think it's 30 or 35 years that there hasn't been a rap song in the top 10. And could even have been the top 40 by the end of last year.
Mm.
That rap is falling rapidly. Again, like people just are trending towards the middle, right? Everything's trending towards the middle because it's safe. So you get people who are threatened by the people who excel on either side. And by excel on either side, I mean they're actually succeeding or failing so dismally that they make you look good. So there's Schadenfreude attached to that. But there's also this idea that you keep your head below the parapet wall and you blend in, and then you also won't get into trouble, which is a big problem in everything, in business. You meet people who you can tell are just doing enough
to survive.
They don't want to lose what they've got. They're not looking at making anything better or bigger. They just don't want to lose what they've got, even though what they've got, they don't own. A big story in America this week is that the credit card companies may be forced by the government to limit interest rates at 10% on credit card debt because so many Americans are living on credit. Yeah. But I mean, I think our problem in South Africa is even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a much bigger credit card problem. And they do charge obnoxious rates on credit cards.
You can never catch up.
But the amazing thing now is, have you noticed how you can pay for almost anything over a period of weeks, months?
Yeah.
Like even cheap stuff. Like you can buy your groceries and spread it over 5 months, which is ludicrous because you're going to be – the food will have been digested by your body, shat out, and be in the sewage pipes.
And you'll still be paying
And you're still paying for it. I mean, I can't imagine anything worse than that. Mm. Also, when nobody owns anything and you're actually paying everything off or renting everything in your life, you don't have a stake in the future. This is why so many young people are thinking that communism sounds cool because they don't own anything. Mm. They don't own their cars. They don't own their – flats or apartments. They don't own their table and chairs. They don't own their food. Everything is paid for in installments, and you never really get to have it.
Mm. You're Ubering instead of having
Ubering instead of having a car. This is all very bad stuff because if you don't own a piece of the world, and by the way, it's true. You know, people always talk about the wealth and the land and all the rest of it. Only about 2% of the world's population owns property, full stop. So if you own...
So in other words, the other way around too, about all the property in the world is owned by about 2%.
Yes, correct.
Of the population.
Well, if you are a property owner, you are in the top 2% of wealthy people in the world, which is quite astonishing because, you know, it should be on everyone's agenda, at least to own the property they live in at some point. If you can't afford it now and you're in your early 20s, then maybe one day, because that's your piece of the earth. That's what you own. That's what gives you security. People talk about being safe and secure. You've got to own your own property, even if it's just the one you live in. I don't think there are arguments that are good and bad for having property beyond that.
Mm.
Yeah, if you own it.
It depends where you are as well. I mean, for me, so I've owned about 5 properties in my life.
Fucking bawling.
But now I don't. Now I don't. At this point in time, I don't. I'm renting.
Yeah.
The amount of financial freedom I feel is unbelievable.
No, I get it. I mean, look, we were sold a heap of steaming bullshit by
our
the
parents,
previous generation.
Yes.
Because we were told if
property
you don't,
is everything.
Yeah, you remember that bullshit about the property ladder?
Have to invest in property.
And it's probably not the greatest investment in the world,
no,
which
it's
is again
to not be.
Well, that's why I'm saying from an investment point of view, there are good arguments for and against. But I think that if you don't own the property you live in and there's a chance you could be turfed out, that you would find yourself homeless. That is something quite serious to consider.
Mm.
I think it's a good thing to know this is mine. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you can't rest on your laurels when you're renting.
No.
You have to keep your eyes open for other opportunities. Keep watching the market.
Well, your landlord could just say, I've 100%. Sold it to someone else.
100%.
You know, then you're screwed. But I think these are all interesting conversations. I do want to get to this, though, because this is a totally unrelated but equally fascinating thing. And talking about something that comes up often on the show, and it's already come up this morning, is this whole thing of, you know, the differences between generations and how they view property, but also the differences between generations and how they view sex. So performance artist, I don't know if you've heard of her, Marina Abramovich. She's not related to Roman Abramovich.
She's the one who put the wool up her vagine and had a period on the wool and knitted a scarf.
I think
with
so.
The period blood.
If someone says performance artist, it's usually
and
some.
And mentioned sex in the same sentence.
It's usually some sort of weirdo,
weird,
pervo, dodgy, slightly sociopathic.
It's funny. Yeah. You mentioned a scarf. I just thought Cyril.
Anyway, so performance artist Marina Abramovich has criticized Gen Z's approach to intimacy. She says their sex lives are a disaster in a recent interview. And if you're in Gen Z, I want to hear how you feel about this. She says, in Dazed magazine, following the premiere of her exhibition, Balkan Erotic Epic, which I guarantee you is absolutely fucking appalling.
Talk about those most Googled words in succession.
Right, exactly. She says that younger generations rely too heavily on pornography and increasingly are afraid of emotional closeness. I think she may have a point here. She suggested that constant exposure to sex through screens and not in real life has replaced real intimacy. Again, I don't think she's wrong, even though she probably does horrible shows. Fear of emotional pain has discouraged deeper connections. Her comments echo wider research pointing to what they call a sex recession. Have you heard of this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been leading.
We're not talking about your life.
It's been leading up to that with the kind of emergence of the incels and,
yep,
you know, women withholding sex or being more picky. Did you hear what Stephen Bartlett said about that?
Mm-mm.
He's the
Diary
of a CEO guy.
Very good, by the way.
He, I think he was, but his guests are becoming thin, like his lineups. He's either, if ever he has a woman on his podcast, she's either speaking about some trauma or something to do with diet.
Oh, but you were not talking about
that. Yeah, but that's all you chicks fucking go on about.
And recently, there, you know, there was somebody was addressing the population decline and the threat to the population because of the way people are,
yes,
their attitudes,
yeah,
about,
yeah,
sex,
yeah,
right now.
Yes, it's a big, it's a very serious problem.
And the growing number of incels.
Yeah.
And Stephen Bartlett said, do you not think that measures should be put in place to address that?
Like what?
Prostitutes.
Exactly. I'm like, by how, Stephen? By providing women for these men to fuck.
That is a very odd
that
take.
That is so weird.
Listen, I am.
Should there not be measures put
I'm
in
very
place?
Against government getting involved in anything. It doesn't absolutely have to. Like,
it's everything.
The borders, That's important. Sovereignty, maintaining a country's borders is important. Hands off the economy. I don't think government should be involved in public education.
Decisions about your body.
I don't think government should have anything to do with public health. I think that should be up to the individual.
Yes, why are they reinventing the food triangle?
Well, I mean, there are countries like, I think what he was hinting at is not that we should be providing free women for incels. First of all, what woman in her right mind would want to be around an incel? But, you know, guys, Japan,
Bonnie,
Scandinavia.
Bonnie Blue's rolled her sleeves up.
Who? Bonnie Blue, yeah.
She's rolled her sleeves up for this cause. I don't see anyone, like, congratulating her.
Rows and rows of men come in and...
Endless.
So what I think Stephen Bartlett's referring to here is that in countries like Japan and the Scandinavian countries, they will pay for couples to go on honeymoon, for example. They will give you child benefits if you have more than one child because they're trying to stimulate the birth rate. Those countries are becoming old faster than any other countries. There's no replacement rate of birth. They're worried about labor. And by the way, I think we may have mentioned this just the other day, but they're already talking about how China's been lying about their population statistics.
Always lying.
Yeah, the Chinese government lie about everything. Just do not believe a word they say if it has numbers involved in it in any which way, because they don't tell the truth. According to experts who've been monitoring the Chinese population for 100 years, the Chinese birth rates and rate of replacement in their population is lower now than it has been since the mid-1800s. So they're facing a very serious population diminution too. Mm. And by the way, people are saying it's nowhere near the numbers that they've been claiming in the big hundreds of millions. It could be half of what they've been saying it was for the last 20 or so years, and partly affected by the one-child policy, which was a disaster. Again, government getting involved. So let's just be careful when we try to socially engineer things that we don't make it worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously.
Unforeseen consequences, like with the one-child policy that people only had boys, and now there's a huge problem for Gen X and after in terms of finding girls. They're going to have to find them in other countries. Maybe other countries are not that interested in a Chinese incel. Just saying.
So, Gareth, two things. Talk us through this Chinese car you're driving.
Oh, I mean, I'm looking for a new car, and I took a look at a couple of them. And,
China.
I test drove that one that you've got.
They make good cars.
Enormous.
Do they, though?
Yes, Ben.
Do they?
It's actually
it's interesting.
Drive. It just feels really big.
I went with my sister. She got a new car the other day. She went for a German car. She likes a certain brand.
Nice.
Checked it out. I saw what they had on offer in their showroom as well.
They make big investments in the country.
Yeah, well, do you know, Germany, what did Trump say this week? They're putting up windmills everywhere. And China makes all the windmills, but I've never seen a wind farm in China. He's right about that. Anyway, the Japanese car, the German car that she bought, I thought, well, it's about time I look at things. Just because you have to, after a while. My car was 10 years old. It was time to look at getting something else. And I went online, did the research, watched a lot of reviews. There are a bunch of really good South African car reviewers. There's some terrible ones, but there are some very good like YouTubers I didn't even know about, because I don't go watch car reviews every other day. But I found myself on...
Didn't you used to do car reviews?
Yeah, in the written form.
I found myself on Tuesday watching, I don't know, at least an hour or two of car reviews from people, just generally kind of weighing up this one versus that one. What are the pluses? What are the minuses? And I'm trying some Chinese
China,
car.
The car that you're driving now, I remember about a year ago, we were talking about all these new Asian branded cars that are popping up.
Yeah.
And I mentioned yours. And you said, you burst out laughing. You said, there's no way that's a real car name.
Well, there are these ridiculous car names, right? And
it's just funny that now you're driving
like
one.
Like the Suzuki Fronks, which we bring up from Taiwan. It's
your
an actual
car?
Thing.
Yeah. Your Japanese car?
It's called a Fronks, for God's sake.
But basically, James bought a car from China.
Yes.
And now You know, it's just,
is it also covered in bird poop?
I think partly why people love. No, he's keeping this one clean. Okay. He parks it under the roof and everything. Yeah. Yeah,
he gets it early for more space.
James has learned the value of looking after
his
things.
Car game, you know? is good
because his last car. I mean, who did you sell? What idiot bought that off of you? Okay, yeah, I feel sorry for them too. I do think these Chinese cars and many other cheaper cars, because there are a lot of cars in a certain price range which are selling at the moment. And if you consider the ones that are over a million, 1.2 million, and people just don't have that money lying around. Mm-hmm. There's a small number of people in this country who do. Most of them are connected to politics. But I think people are also looking at how much car do you get for your money?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's probably why the Chinese are doing so well here.
I'm so torn by this because it's obvious, right? You get good value for money.
Mm.
But okay, I mean, I could be talking out of my ass here. But I think that China's done such a job with the government that they go, look, we need to sell a shit ton of cars to your market.
Maybe.
We don't want to pay the duties. Because if we pay the duties, then it's not cheap. So we're just going to flood with all these fucking cars. Maybe. We have dealerships everywhere. Don't worry about floor plans. Don't worry about infrastructure. Don't worry about investment. We're just going to sell a shit ton of this to you. You guys
maybe,
are going
to
take
Ben,
it.
But I advise you to try and drive some of these, and you'll see
not
for yourself.
Not the fact that I'm sure it's
what's great about them is, sorry, Ben, is that they come with most of the amenities, the nice things.
Sure, guys.
Whereas a German car, one of the others, you're paying extra for absolutely everything.
But for decades, the Germans have been pumping money into this country, creating employment, creating infrastructure, doing all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are moaning and nitpicking over price. These oaks from China just literally rocked up with a fucking container load going, look, guys, we're just going to flaunt, we're going to just skip all this kind of stuff. And then everyone must now do this.
So I watched an interesting thing the other day.
It's a strange ideological thing that I'm straddling here.
You may have a point. Rebellious Ruth says, I test drove a Chinese vehicle and it looks great, but very plasticky, not solid at all. Pricing entered at 280K plus. Yeah, you know, you've got to decide what you're prepared to pay. And I think that Elon Musk made a comment not so long ago where he spoke to the biggest auto investor in the US. And this guy told him, you're going to fail with Tesla. And he said, why? The guy said, essentially what's happening in the world now is that the motor manufacturers, the car brands, don't make a lot of money off selling new cars. What you make money on is the parts that you sell after the warranties are run out and the motor plans are run out, because you can sell those at a premium. So in other words, they almost sell new cars at zero margin anyway. So if the Chinese have found a way to even undercut that, that's – I mean, listen, they say they're the Chinese Communist Party, but they seem to be promoting a huge amount of very, very smart capitalism all over the world where people go, I'm prepared to pay that or I'm not prepared to pay that.
Look, they know how to sell stuff. They're not a flood market with product.
Sure.
We've seen, like, that's their thing.
Yeah.
That is their colonialist – colonizing.
Colonization.
I see here, I believe the more conservative countries open up to the rest of the world, the more problems they inherit as their population begins to decline. Social media has impacted greatly too, says Judas. I think that's true. German car manufacturers single-handedly propping up the Eastern Cape economy when Mercedes leaves, says Robin, and they will. You can just turn off the lights down there. Yeah, I mean, I've always said that we should just ignore the Eastern Cape and let it float out into the sea. Cut it loose where the border is. Just actually dig a huge trench and let it go.
No, but that's just it. Like, these companies are propping up thingies, and they're getting so shafted now because of, like, Temu Motors coming in.
Sure. I think people have got to decide, Ben. No one can force anybody to do anything.
Know,
it's the same way as the government shouldn't be involved in who fucks who.
I know. And it's survival.
They mustn't tell you what car to buy.
And it's survival of the fittest, but this is the beginning of the end.
Perhaps. Perhaps. I think there's always going to be, as per your point earlier about AI and, you know, music and everything else, there's always going to be a huge number of people who will decide, we're not going to partake in this crap. It's going to happen. the Jayco, the J7 Jayco plug-in. I didn't even know what I thought this was like an electrical appliance, but clearly
Jayco,
it isn't.
Jayco, I think it's called.
Jayco, right. What is this person making a point about?
Well,
here?
See, another thing that cars do now is that they actually sell subscriptions. So you can have certain features, but you've got to spend like however much a month to have these things work. And as cars become
like the extras.
Yeah, yeah.
Sunroof,
and as cars become more sort of electro, like your cell phone, basically. I mean, even a while ago, Apple talked about bringing out a car because they can just use the same method as they make with their phones.
Sure.
And then everything's, you get updates. Like even Tesla, you know, Tesla had this funny thing that on Christmas, I'll send you a present. You go update your car or whatever, and then your car will play Jingle Bells. Like, but the more your car gets controlled by these people, that also feels a bit fishy.
Oh, here we go. I bought the Jayco J7 plug-in and I haven't bought fuel in 2 months. That's yonder. Okay, well, cool. Rebellious Ruth says, I worked out if you just use Checkers 6060 and Uber-type taxis, you would make a savings of 65%, she reckons. But that's if you're only traveling very short distances.
It's a hack, though, huh?
I tried that for...
It's such a hack.
I tried that for 2 months a while ago. It was a couple of years ago. And it definitely ended up being very expensive. And then this is limited edition, says, I just bought this latest Fortuner. I bought
this
guy's
cash. So fucking punting his, I won $1 million on Betway.
Yeah, he did. Good for him, man. So way too high maintenance. So now I'm thinking of putting it on the market, lol. That's called buyer's remorse. You also cannot, Ben, to your point earlier about, you know, flooding the market with good value cars or cheap cars or whatever you want to call them. I cannot justify, and I don't think I ever will, spend more than R1 million on a car. In fact, even 500,000.
Totally get you. Totally get you.
I just think it's a.
It's a.
I've had my fun with sports cars and.
No, I get you.
Expensive German SUVs and English cars and all that kind of thing. I'm just not interested anymore.
Look, I have the most analog car possible. I'm going to drive that thing forever. And if I do start making money where I don't have to care about money, I'm going to buy an old BMW 3 Series.
Cool.
Just because of like what it meant to the time of my life, what I thought was cool, what I think will give me like giggles. Yeah, cars are terrible assets, but it just sucks knowing that cars are also fun. You know, cars are a lot of identity. There's a lot of prestige and all these kind of things, and they're all going to die because of affordability and all this kind of – it's like architecture, basically. It's the exact same thing. We grew up in a stage where cars were exciting and fucking like exhilarating in many ways.
Yeah.
And now it's not that because purpose, practicality, price.
I've had mine for 15 years now, going into 16th. And again, there's just this financial freedom that you – number one, you paid off your car years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
You haven't been paying anything towards
a car.
Absolutely. Number two – if it gets into an accident or somebody scratches it with a wheelchair, it's
fine. You're not upset.
Scratch Number with a three. Wheelchair, your go-to reference. Was
well, I mean, there are a lot of very vandalous people.
My brother and I were chatting about our cars last night because he's just trading his in. And it's so funny. He was looking at the photographs where you have to take photographs of where all the marks are. And on his and my car, the damage my mom's wheelchair has caused to our cars is insane. Getting into the car, out the car, running up the side.
These cripples are going around.
I tell you what.
Doing damage.
But you don't, because of, like, if my car's hijacked, it's, you know, really, so what?
Well, as long as you're not in it, Leanne, that wouldn't be so nice. Hijacked is probably not the best example.
But also, I'm not worried about being hijacked because nobody wants the car.
Exactly. Tough day for a hijacker when they go, oh, and I get 16-year-old. Let's get it.
At 2010. The 2010.
I've been staking this out for weeks.
Do you think that cars are still the status symbol they once were?
No.
They are, I think, still for millennial men, single millennial men.
It's definitely not what it used to be. It'll always be something because a great car is something to behold.
Right.
But I also think that women aren't – the better question is, like, women in that zone that you really want to have sex with them, what do they think?
Mm. And maybe they don't think of cars that way anymore.
If they don't, then it's kind of like being
– They don't. That's the thing.
It's kind of like being super ripped and jacked. Guys do it for guys. Girls don't like that kind of shit. They really care.
Well, there was that who's the guy who they did exactly this thing with? It's like some singer or something. And they worked out that he got to a point where he was too fit for women to find him attractive.
Mm.
Only guys thought it was cool. And if you just scale that back a little bit, like a little bit of love handles, mm-hmm. he's not as ripped. He's like a little, rounded at the edges. And then suddenly the girls are like,
bit of a dad bod, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because girls look at that and they think, okay, well, I'm never going to be number one if you look like that, because you're clearly number one.
No, we also it's also like a safety thing. You feel like a security thing, a relationship security thing. You think if he thinks like that and he prides his body so much and he's doing it for women, then he could stray.
Ah, so you want him to be good.
Also, you're worried about yourself the whole time. You're feeling self-conscious about your own looks.
Oh, that's, so
you
that's want him so to be, annoying people
you
do
want
that.
Him to be good, but you don't want him to be so good that you could lose him.
Or that you feel self-conscious when you lean for the popcorn and you've got a roll down your side.
You know, again, it strikes me as such every time it's a realization, even though I've heard it a million times, girls' brains are a lot more complicated than ours.
Somewhat, Gareth. Yeah.
I mean, but a lot more complicated.
Some would say that
by
from
a factor of 50. The thoughts, the ideas, the constant like second guessing, the trying to figure stuff out.
That's way more difficult.
Saying
for
what
girl,
you mean,
why.
But not really what you mean.
Thinking far ahead.
Whereas with us, it's like yes, no.
Yeah.
It really. Good, I like. Good, I bad. Am so grateful that I have the energy to burn on
other
asking
shit.
Questions about the universe, that I don't have to worry about the social stuff. A girl's
or the internal
folder,
monologue.
Like if you had to measure the number of gigs of memory and RAM and energy expended on just figuring out social and emotional stuff that girls have to, my brain would be tired by 5 a.m. I wouldn't be able to wake up. I'd lie there like a zombie going, oh, God.
I mean, we touched on this last week. When we wake up in the morning, we know what time we're going to be somewhere. We put clothes on, we look presentable, we leave.
Yeah.
Women are making get ready with me fucking videos.
Yes. That's hard, man.
That's half of my bandwidth done right. Before I even left the house. And ultimately, then they look at someone else who got ready better, and they fucking hate what they've just done.
It's like, I wish I could start over.
Yeah.
James, got Hanan on there? Oh, that's magic news. Let's go to Dr. Hanan because maybe he can shed some light on this. By the way, Dr. Hanan, I got a very lame, sad email from somebody, so I'm going to go straight to this. I mean, we really do cater for everyone. Maybe you want to comment on this thing that we were talking about now where women and men's brains, they really are different. I mean, women have an inordinate amount of bandwidth for and energy to process things that men don't even think about when it comes to emotional and social stuff. Or are we putting the cart before the horse here? That's certainly how I feel it is. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, it is true. Think about it. We are together as men just go out on the hunt and we make decisions. Not about the social interactions or the social hierarchy. We see a target. Yes, no, go for it. If we waste our energy and coins on social interactions, we miss the target and we bring back nothing to the tribe. But women are social creatures. There's a hierarchy, there's dynamics, there's competition. Mm. So they spend a lot more of their time in this kind of intermingling and interaction and dynamics and issues and competing and comparing, and men just make decisions.
Which is again why I'm going to say that we should never have given them the vote. But that's just me. I mean, I know it's going to be hugely unpopular. Some people won't like it.
All this education for women. It's
outrageous. Look what's happened. We've screwed up everything for you. Look how unhappy.
Now they've got even more to think about.
Women were much happier, according to all the metrics they could measure in the 1950s in America, than they are now.
I don't know.
They're all depressed. They feel neglected. They're emotionally under-resourced.
No, I think it's the opposite.
I'm telling you.
They're burnt out in corporates.
I'm telling you that they've done the – Leanne, you can find the research yourself. A quick Google search will turn up all the results. It'll back me up on this, and maybe Dr. Hanan has something to say.
Yeah, and you work like 73 hours a day.
Women were much happier when they could – I don't know. I do
hang
whatever
up washing
they
in their grey pinafores.
I don't know what they were, Leanne, I don't know what they were doing in the '50s, but they were measurably much happier. Is there anything that you want to add to that, Dr. Hanan, while we're on the controversial stuff, and then we can get to this terrible email?
So I think it's very important psychologically to focus your attention on something. You don't want to dilute your purpose by doing 74 things and really master none. You want to be known as something. So if somebody describes you or somebody asks you, hey, what do? You want to be a specialist in something. I am ... and you got to name it. And we know from research that people who cannot name their identity and be specialist in something lack a sense of purpose. So when you're a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a lot of this and a lot of that, you lose perspective, you lose direction, you lose purpose. You want to be something, but that something is going to be special. So you want to have a concise, directed, focused identity and not diluted by doing a million other things. And women perhaps back then had a direct focus on their identity. I am a ... But these days, I'm a mom and I'm a driver and I'm the Uber and I'm the maid and I'm the homemaker and I'm the cook and I'm the chef. And I'm a lot of things for a lot of people, but I'm not one thing that I can call my own that I'm a specialist at. And not just women, but men that do that as well and dilute their purpose also lack that sense of purpose. And that's when we get confused, anxious, depressed, frustrated.
Yeah, and I think that there are women and men who are probably feeling more like that also because society seems to reward victimhood more than ever before. So if you can claim that you're depressed and unhappy, people will pay attention to you. But let's move to this because this person is depressed and unhappy. So
let's give them some attention.
Let's give them the attention that they so desperately crave. Hi there, Dr. Hanan. Everyone says healing is meant to feel freeing, but for me it's been quiet and lonely. As I've grown, I've lost friendships, outgrown relationships, and even parts of myself I used to recognize. I'm trying to be healthier and more honest, yet life somehow feels harder. There are fewer people around, more empty space, more grief than relief. I guess I just want to know if this loneliness is part of the process or if I'm doing healing wrong. Thanks for making space for conversations like this. All right, so that's from Anonymous.
Just so glad you didn't go into psychology, right?
Dr. Hanan would love me to be a partner in his business in psychology, but I just know that it would never work. People would be outside with pitchforks and flaming torches. They'd want to kill me. What do you say to this pathetic, sad situation that this person has found themselves in? Is healing meant to be so lonely?
So naturally, we attach ourselves to people that are on the same value that we bring to the table. So if I'm a 1 out of 10, I will naturally attract myself and be attracted to a 1 out of 10. If I'm a 3 out of 10, I'll attract a 3. And if I'm a 7, I'm a 7. Gareth, you and I have spoken about social hierarchy, and naturally, we surround ourselves with people that align with who and the value that we bring to the table. That's why just to veer off the topic for 2 seconds, when people come to me and say, why can't I find the person of my dreams? My question is, are you the person that you would like to attach yourself to? If you were dating yourself, would you enjoy your own company? Are you funny? Are you wealthy? Are you healthy? Do you have a sense of purpose? Are you interesting? Are you worldly? Or if not, you will never find somebody that matches that. You will actually match with somebody that matches you. So change naturally means that you are moving up the value or moving down the value. And naturally the old people, the people that were in your life that matched you before are naturally going to not match you now. And therefore change or healing, so to speak, is you changing, and naturally you're going to attach yourself to people that are different as well. Change is difficult, and it's not just difficult because we are resistant to change, but change is difficult because the environment and the society and the culture and the people around us are going to resist our change too, because they don't want to see us different to who they are. So have you ever seen the experiment with the fleas in a jar? If you haven't seen it, anyway, the researcher puts fleas in the jar and he closes the lid. And he leaves them in the jar for however many days or however many weeks. And once he opens the jar, no flea jumps out. Because they've learned, he taught them, that they cannot jump beyond the lid of the jar. And interestingly, the offsprings will follow the same lead. So even though the offsprings never grew up with the lid, but they've seen other people grow up not actually jumping beyond the lid of the jar, and they will follow suit. What's very interesting is that the moment a flea tries to jump out of the jar, other fleas will kill it. Because you do not want to see other people or other things expand beyond what you believe is possible. So going back to healing, the moment you step out of your comfort zone and heal, naturally people will try and bring you down. If you ever seen crabs in a bucket, you don't have to close the lid because everybody brings everybody down. Nobody wants to expand beyond the boundaries of what they think is possible. But change is very difficult. And if you're going to change, you're naturally going to meet people that are different to you. And but there's a gap between the old crew and just finding your new self with the new people in the new space that you find yourself in.
But that's the thing. The goal should be less people in this world. And then you know you're doing the good thing.
Well, you mean you should keep your circle small.
Yeah, keep it tight and
you don't
strong.
You don't mean let's just massacre millions of people then. not, when you say this should, the goal should be less people.
Not this time. Normally that's
I'm
my go-to.
I'm just pointing out, you know, Stalin, choose your words carefully.
But you know what? It's not about the small people that you should have around you. It's the quality of the people that you should have around you. Mm. If you want to know the value that you bring to the table, look at the circle that you surround yourself with. If you're around uninteresting people, people that are losers, people that are not financially secure, people that are overweight, well, that's who you are. That's what you bring to the table. Yep. A one will never match with a 10. It will never happen. Forget about it. If your surrounding, if your environment, if your people are 1 out of 10, that's who you are. That's the reality. It's not even sad. It's not good. It's not bad. It's the truth. Don't marry the fantasy of what you hope you would be like. Marry the reality of who you are. And move on from there. So if you want to know who you really are, look at your surrounding and your surrounding represents you. So it's not about the number of people that are around you, but you want to surround yourself with people that pull you up, not the people that get you stuck, not the yes man that tell you that, yes, this is how good you are. This is how wonderful you are. I want to surround myself with people that are grateful for who I am, but want to see me better and right. Be very selective of who you surround yourself with because that's what you become.
Affirmation and safety and people who coddle you, right? Because that's going to have the exact opposite result of what you're talking about.
Definitely, because that keeps you stuck. That keeps you, that's the false positive. You're then assuming that where you're at is where you should be.
That makes it even more perverse that that's what people are looking for. They say, I want to feel accepted. I want to feel included. I want to feel safe. And all that's doing is keeping you as average as possible, 100%. Not below.
100%.
Right.
100%. Then you stay stuck with where you're at.
Important realization for this morning, I think. All right, Dr. Hanan, thank you so much. It's always lovely to check in with you. And we will see you. Yeah, great. In a week's time.
See you then. Bye, guys.
Yeah, that experiment he was talking about, they did a similar thing. Yeah, humans are horrible. We've done this with fleas, which don't really, I mean, you know, I'm not particularly concerned about the death of a flea.
No.
But we've done this with monkeys. They've done it with rats.
We still do.
In the monkey experiment, they'd give them sweets, but then they'd shock them when they got the sweets. And eventually the next generation of monkeys who didn't know about the shocking or anything were terrified of sweets. Mm. So it just shows you how this stuff is passed on. The same experiment, same result, different species. Don't think it doesn't apply to us. Humans are also animals. In fact, we may be the most easily influenced of all the animals because we have emotions that are, you know, dysregulated. We have this huge frontal cortex that is disparately and not always well connected to our thyroid glands and
like
our adrenaline and everything else. So it's bound to fuck up at some point. You become like those you spend time with, says Veronica, paraphrasing Dr. Hanan. It's why the DA is becoming cuck because they're spending too much time with the ANC.
Yeah, bound to happen.
I haven't been paying a lot of attention to South African news, but I did see this horrible story. I don't want to get to sport in a minute, but it's worth at least reflecting on this for a second. This taxi accident.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, you know,
it's a conversation that a lot of people are having, and it's that, especially now that he's appeared in court, and it's his body posture and the way he presented himself. Firstly, he looks 32, not 22.
Yeah.
He looks a lot older than he is. But with his head hanging down, etc. And it does bring up the question, okay, so he's going to now face 14 counts. It's 14 now because two kids died in hospital yesterday. Counts of murder.
Mm-hmm.
How many years is that going to be? Do you punish someone who committed a crime like that at the age of 22?
Of course you do.
Of course you do, because the interesting question that I heard was, if there was any inkling in his mind that what he was about to do could result in death, then yes, he should be punished. He must face whatever punishment it is.
If you saw the video, though, which has now been circulated widely on social media and in the news, you try and overtake four other cars, then you essentially plow straight into a truck. Clearly should not be able to drive. You should not be allowed to drive, certainly not drive passengers. You wipe yourself out, fine. But, you know, these are other people's children. And taxis in this country, whether we like them or not, are ferrying around millions of people every single day. Mm-hmm. And there is an additional, it's almost like, you know, you need a different code of license, yes, to drive an 18-wheeler than you would for your little 4-wheeler car.
Yes, the same needs to be said for if you're transporting passengers, but also school children.
Yeah. I think only very, well, not very old, but
experienced drivers.
I'd like, you know, old ladies who don't, you know, the ones who you get stuck behind?
Mm.
On the road, and they irritate the hell out of you. Those are the people who should be driving school kids.
They're a bit of a hazard, those.
I don't know.
Just give more of a fuck in life what you do. It's not hard. Like, if your job is to get these kids safely somewhere, their lives are in your hands. Like, they're physically in your hands. And you want to drive like that? Like, you're just not caring enough.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, if we didn't have laws in this country, people would have torn that taxi driver to pieces.
If he made bail, for instance, he'd be dead right now.
Oh, he'd be dead. Yeah. Kangaroo court, necklacing, all that kind of shit. And you might not like that, but it's not always about rehabilitating people.
Say, what I don't like is 14 dead kids who just wanted to go to school. I don't like that more.
I really don't like that.
And
either.
Their parents. Some of them lost
their parents,
both
families,
of their children.
All that.
And the parents were there to witness. Oh, God. Yeah. So, so, so horrible.
Yep. A public driver's permit, says Bitcoin Butch. Slippery Pickle says taxis will pull you out of your own car and damage it if you take your own children to school in some areas in South Africa. Is this because they
want you to use their services?
Right. Well, taxis are going to have a hard time arguing after this. This does not help their case in any which way.
And it's weird, on the route here this morning, I kind of, for some very stupid reason, thought I might see better behavior by taxis today. It did not happen.
Not at all.
There were taxis going 80 k's an hour through red robots past me.
All right, we got to get into some sport. Now, Leanne, you know absolutely nothing.
No, that's when I take my leave.
I know, but you should be paying attention. So on your way out, get on your phone. Listen to what Ben has to say, and you don't have to sound like an idiot all weekend.
I do just want to say.
No, but she likes it, though. She likes doing that. She always has. Because it's like you as well, Gareth, same person. It's like you think you're too good for sport. So therefore, you purposely get it wrong so that you can just remind people, like, this is below me.
I even spoke about a golfer the other day, and you were surprised how much I got it wrong.
But you both had this very weird thing. I think maybe you were both bullied in PE class or something.
Wait, I do have some advice for you, young man. With your just show us your tag again that you're wearing.
No, because you're going to butcher it on purpose.
But this tag, which only applies in Cape Town, we're sitting in Joburg now, and it only applies on Sunday, but you're wearing it now.
We've been through this already, Grandma. I need to pack it so I don't forget it because I need it.
When I was a young child, I was so excited ahead of sports day to wear my blue rosette and my blue running shorts with my white T-shirt.
Great.
That I got up from bed in the middle of the night and put on those clothes.
Did you forget them the next day? No.
No, but I wet myself, didn't I? And I couldn't wear the fucking things. So be careful of your little tag.
I should have known there would have been a Leannism at the end.
And don't pour any coffee over it.
It's a tag, Leanne. It's a piece of plastic.
All right. Well, coming up a little later on, we'll have Robbie Cruz popping in. Media guy, golf guy with Ben. They're planning some exciting stuff.
Robbie's my guy.
And no, just wait, Leanne. Just wait your turn. We'll get rid of you in a second.
You can't make it about yourself.
We'll post you out the back of the studio down the chute in a minute.
Yeah, and jump the couch.
Huh, right. So Robbie Cruz will be joining us. He's got bars in Pretoria. The man is busy.
A fascinating individual. Lovely human being.
All right. So Ben, start us off. What do we got this
Gareth,
week?
You know, it's 14 days until the start of the Winter Olympics. But not just that. Let's just have a bit of a run here because the year is very much underway now. Don't tell me this whole Happy New Year business. We're in the year. It's happening, right? 13 days time, the Six Nations starts. 15 days time, T20 World Cup starts.
Right.
34 days time, SA Open Golf, which is obviously a huge deal this year. Joburg opens 41 days. 44 days time, F1 season starts. Massive new season, rule changes, additional teams. That all starts.
All kicking off.
LIV Golf SA, 55 days to go. The IPL, 62 days to go. The Masters, 76. And then Arsenal's first trophy, 113 days time. That'll be the FA Cup.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's why also you're wearing the Arsenal top today. And mostly to irritate James as well.
Yeah.
Because, of course, James's team is just absolute shit.
Well, they're up to fourth in the Champions League now.
We're talking about Liverpool.
Yeah, it's just quite something, hey? James, how are they doing against Burnley last week? I didn't catch that.
That doesn't matter.
It's not okay.
Doesn't want to talk about it.
All right. Yeah, well, let's start with football because Arsenal, yes, they are on top. They're on top of the Champions League. They're on top of the Premier League, most importantly, 50 points. Man City second, 43. Aston Villa, 43. And then Liverpool, credit to them. They really climbed the ladder. They're on fourth.
Okay.
14 points behind Arsenal.
That's not so bad.
And more importantly, 1 point ahead of Man United. Bitter rivals, which is cool. You know, neck and neck. It's great. Everyone wants to see it. Look, there will be games on Saturday, but they're not good ones. They're not great. Sunday is where it's at for Premier League this week. Crystal Palace versus Chelsea at 4 o'clock. Newcastle versus Aston Villa at 4 o'clock. And then the big one, Arsenal versus Man United at 6:30.
But you won't be watching any of that because you'll be at the cricket.
SA20 all day. So how, you know, obviously playoff week, right? Top two teams play in the playoff number one. Winner of that goes through to the finals. Mm-hmm. Pretoria Capitals wipe the floor with Sunrise Eastern Cape in Durban. And Durban, screw you. You had a chance to have a match. Bugger all of you went to that game. You should be ashamed of yourself. This Durban, tournament is so much.
Let's just be fair. Durban has never excelled at pitching up for stuff, right?
I mean, I kind of get it because no one actually lives in Durban. Durban, for cricket-going people, mostly live in Mhlanga North and upwards.
Durban is just, it's really, you guys are disappointing. Ben, even 15 years ago, you'd have a concert where you'd have best artists in the world coming out. Durban people are like, eh.
And that Durban Cricket Stadium's nice. The vibe's
cool.
It is.
It's fantastic.
But, I mean, sure, like their team wasn't playing, but the best two teams were. So, look, Capitals straight through to the final on Sunday. Then last night, Joburg Super Kings, not a real team. They lost to the Paul Royals. Sorry, I mean, Joburg Super Kings are my team. But they lost a game after having a team 7-5. They're no longer in the tournament. Okay, let's just leave it at that. So the Paul Royals today take on Sunrise Eastern Cape, qualifier number two. The winner of this game will go into Sunday's final. And the cool thing about this game is going to be at the Wanderers. Weather looks nice. Wanderers is the greatest cricket ground in the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
People can talk about vibe and all that kind of stuff. Wanderers is a real theater. Back when Man United used to be good, they used to call their stadium the Theater of Dreams.
Yeah. Now it's a bit of a that's a bit reaching.
Well, back in the day it was, but okay. Wanderers is that in cricket. So yeah, that's the big playoff game today. Sunrise Eastern Cape, Paul Royals. Paul Royals don't have their captain David Miller, but it didn't make much of a difference last night as they posted a huge team. Sorry, a huge score. So yeah, Pretoria Capitals in the final, and good. I reckon Sunrise Eastern Cape are going to be there. Sunday's game, 3:30. Directly after that, we're going to have a live on the bounce show at Newland Stadium. We're going to have all kinds of other things. The whole crew is going down. James and Flex, Marv, Tian, me, Sandile. So, yeah, stay on the socials with us all day Sunday because we're at the ground. We're going to make it happen.
Sounds good.
The United Rugby Championship is back. Obviously, Investec Champions Cup was the big deal, always around end of and beginning of the year. So Stormers are still way ahead. They're still doing the best. They are the best SA team. The other teams are not quite as good. But they are all playing this weekend, of course. Tonight, there is two games at the same time. I feel like someone's missed the scheduling thing there.
Oh, that's a problem.
Edinburgh will take on the Bulls, 9:45, and then the Ospreys will take on the Lions, 9:45. I mean, if you don't like the Bulls, then you just watch the Lions game.
Right. Just, you know. Or you could switch between the two compulsively if you...
Nothing for the neutrals there. Yeah. Saturday, big game. It is the Coastal Derby in Durban. And apparently they've sold quite a few tickets to this because...
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, the Sharks are taking you on the Stormers. So, massive clash. The most box in both teams. It's going to be really exciting. 7:30 on Saturday. And then there's UFC this weekend. UFC's got a bit of in the back burner recently. I don't think it's quite the quality it used to be. But yeah, Justin Gaethje versus Paddy Pimblett is the main fight there.
Who?
Justin Gaethje versus Paddy Pimblett.
Okay, I won't pretend I've ever heard those names in my life.
Yeah, so that's a big lightweight fight. Yeah, it's not the greatest card
Paddy
because...
Paddy Pimblett sounds like...
Paddy the Baddy, that Scouser, you know who he is.
No, I don't.
Gareth, you send me memes and stuff of him. He's the oak with the bowl haircut. He's the Scouser fighter.
No.
See, there you go again, sports beneath me. And then the bantamweight co-main event is Sean O'Malley versus Song Yadong.
Song Yadong.
Yeah, Song Yadong. So there was going to be a legacy women's fight, Harrison versus Nunes, but then Harrison needed a neck operation, so she's out. Oh. So yeah, it's not the biggest thingy, but I guess she's versus Paddy the Baddy is going to be a great fight.
Right, if you say so.
Sean O'Malley versus Song Yadong is going to be a great fight.
All right.
But and yeah, Aussie opens on this weekend as well.
All right.
Novak Djokovic won his 399th Grand Slam game. Fuck, that's amazing.
It's also Australia Day on the 26th of January.
Great.
And they're expecting a large crowd of very patriotic Australians to be taken to the streets.
And be patriotic, Aussies.
Yeah, it's about time.
Especially during the Aussie Open.
Yeah.
Be it. So Djokovic through to the third round. The fourth round game will be his chance to win his 400th Grand Slam. Other than that, Emma Raducanu's out. If you watch cricket just for – sorry, if you watch tennis just for looks – otherwise, yeah, all the top seeds are mostly there. No big drama in the first week of the Aussie Open. And that, Gareth, is where I will say goodbye.
All right, Ben. Enjoy your trip to Cape Town. Somebody here says, just a random fandom says, can't believe this has become a sports show when Gareth doesn't even give a shit about sport. Actually, I have found that if anyone in the world is to try and tell me anything about sport, and I do take a considerable interest because he's good at telling me about these things, is Ben. So... that is why we have sport on the show. And because people love it. It's a South African religion.
Yeah, again, not a great comment.
No, I know, but random fandom who I've never heard of this person. Yeah, just like I hadn't heard of Titlahan or whoever it was that you told me about earlier.
Song Yadong.
There we go. That's the one.
All right. So my regards to Robbie. I must go fight some traffic all before getting into an Uber to the airport.
Marvelous. Well, what we do have coming up is also Martin from Tourvest Destination Management, which I'm very excited about. He's been on the show before, and he's going to tell us a little bit about this flooding in the Kruger, which is massive, and what the impacts of that might be, how long it's going to take them to get back to normal. So if you were planning a trip there, what that might mean. And they've got all kinds of exciting stuff happening in Spain and the Caribbean that he will share with us. As I said, Robbie Cruz will be joining us a little later on, and he and Ben are doing a lot in the golf world. He apparently is golf's 31st. Don't know why he'd. This is what Robbie says in his actual CV. He goes, he's been proclaimed as South Africa's 31st most influential golf influencer. 31st. Very important number, that. So thank you very much for that, Robbie. Be joining us later. Oh, is he on? He's not coming in. Oh, he's online. Okay, brilliant. Well, Martin Viest, it's very nice to see you, and I hope that you are exceedingly well and your year has started off well. Listen, Tourvest Destination Management, it's going to obviously be a good year, and I'm sure that you have lots of exciting plans. But can we just start off talking about the Kruger Park? I think I'm one of millions of South Africans who've seen these videos of, you know, animals washing downstream, rivers flooding, bridges gone. It's obviously a big worry, and you guys have a lot to think about there. What do you have to tell us? What info do you have? How can you help us figure this out?
Morning, firstly, and before we do anything else, I'm going to wish you a very good 2026, and I hope your year started well.
Yeah, thanks.
Our year started wet, is, I guess, the answer. And funnily enough, our year didn't only start wet, it started super dry on the garden route in Nyasa in particular, which is starting to run out of water.
Right.
And it started fiery in parts of the Western Cape.
Sure.
So the weather is always a component of what influences tourism. And certainly the floods in Kruger, whilst they're not unprecedented and have impacted the traffic flows of tourism in this country. What it means for us in reality is that we have a whole heap of reroutings. We haven't had cancellations. We haven't had people that could no longer come on holiday here. I think we'll have a few people that we are amazed that sunny Africa can be rainy. But we certainly had an enormous amount of reroutings. Beneficiaries of that would be Pilansberg and Madikwe in particular. So we would have taken people there instead of down to Kruger when the camps started to close down and when the private game reserves started to close down. Happy to report that they're starting to open up again. There's quite a bit of damage. So numerous camps are going to stay closed till at least the end of March while they're renovating. The upside is, we're going to have renovations, we're going to have better product, we're going to have new product and shinier product, and these things happen. I remember, I think you and me chatted about how I started a Tourvest in the meantime 39 years ago, and it was as a tour guide.
That's right.
And there was a tropical cyclone those days, a tropical cyclone called Des Moines. And I got stuck in Shishlui because the river's north and the river's south, bridges were gone, and I spent with my guest 2.5 weeks in Shishlui in a pouring rain with no ability to leave. So the weather happens, and nobody died of international tourists. It's a tragedy that South Africans died in that environment.
Yeah, so, you know, these things
really
happen. I don't think anyone is going to throw out their plans for a trip, especially if you've booked it months in advance. You know, it could be quite exciting for people who want to go on, you know, whether they're European tourists, Americans, even local South Africans. They want to go on a safari. They want to go and see animals. So you're going to see them, but you're going to see them doing different things. There's that amazing video of that elephant. I'm sure everybody's seen it. The elephant and the mom kind of pulls the baby elephant out of the river as the river's flowing by. So those are the kinds of things that you'd only see in a situation where there's as much water as there is. So there's a different level of interaction with the animals, with the plants, with the rivers, with the mountains. It's all very exciting. So listen, Tourvest Destination Management, you guys have properties all over the world. You're involved in so many different ways. I believe there are exciting things in Spain and the Caribbean that you also have to tell us about, which is an update from it was months ago when I last had you on the show. But this sounds very exciting, Martin.
Yeah, I think I saw you during the Christmas period with a gin and tonic in hand. And,
I saw you, but we haven't shared this with the people who watch and listen to the show. So go on, boast a little bit. You've got some cool things going on.
You know what I always find amazing is that South Africans, we often underplay the relevance of our industries, our companies. Mm-hmm. And Tourvest is an amazing company that has a really relevant place in the global tourism environment. I mean, in the meantime, we employ over 8,000 people, and I'm comfortable to say that we in the top 10 globally in terms of an integrated tourism company that has the type of diversity that we have. So for me, that's always super exciting. The upside in all of this is that it allows us to do really sexy shit in the meantime. We're able to take our magic, our African magic, our African soul, and take it offshore and start mini tour vests in other parts of the world. And that's what we're busy doing now for numerous reasons, largely because our influence in Africa in the meantime is of a nature that it's difficult to grow. So we're going to grow outside the borders of Africa whilst remaining deeply African in nature and deeply African in soul. So let me touch on the Caribbean first, because it's an amazing project. So when you started expanding our business into the Caribbean, you might know that we also, as part of our overall offering, run, my colleagues will hate me for calling them souvenir stores. So the correct terminology is destination merchandise store, because they're just so much better than souvenir stores. Let's be crystal clear on that.
That is true. And we're talking about, by the way, we're talking about these big shops in the airports and all over the place.
Yeah. Out of Africa, for example.
Yeah, and I mean, people buy these expensive gifts for their overseas friends and family, and they buy them when they land here. And, you know, it's a massive industry.
Exactly. And my colleagues in that part of Tourvest expanded into the Caribbean a few years ago, and I've had a business there called Gansey for, let's call it, the last 8-9 years. And I finally managed to catch up with them. So we acquired a business in Antigua called Rendezvous that we're going to change the brand to something sexier called Sense of Oceans to entice your senses. And that business handles cruise ship passengers. That's 200,000 passengers a year off cruise ships for day tours and excursions. And we're going to attach the tourist magic to it. We're going to attach the vertical to it. So we're going to put a zip line in there. We're going to, of course, put a souvenir shop in there. That would be a tragedy if we didn't. we're going to put a beach club in. And just for you, we're going to put a beach bar in that serves the local rums. And we're going to create a more cohesive experience for the people that we take off the cruise ships. And then we're going to use that as a springboard to other islands in the Caribbean, where we think that with our experiences and our background and with the things that we've done really successfully, we can add value to the destinations. In next month, I'm going there. I'm going to meet with the Prime Minister. Who is so, it's amazing. They're so excited about African investment in their island. Because, you know, if you look at their history and how the slaves arrived there from the United States, they feel more connected, I guess, ethically, genetically, I don't know, emotionally to Africa than they do to the United States. But the bulk of the investment in those islands is out of the United States. So I was absolutely bamboozled that they are so excited about African investment into their destinations. And so we have an invite by the Prime Minister to have a conversation with him on how we can together add value to the tourism destinations in the Caribbean. So I'm really excited about that.
I think there's something very, very special about the Caribbean. I mean, the names of these islands, you've got places like Antigua and Curaçao and St. Kitts and Nevis and, you know, St. Barts. These are places people, you say the names and they just sound very, very exciting and exotic. And
they roll off the tongue easily. It's like St. Martin, right?
Yeah. St. Martin too. All right, Martin, so what about Spain while you're boasting about all these international forays?
No, I'm not boasting. I'm sharing.
I love it. Don't get me wrong. I think it's amazing. It's amazing that a South African company that's as successful and as huge as Tourvest is able to make other countries go, wow, we can improve our tourism sector in the same way. And that's what you're doing.
And isn't that amazing? And that's really why I'm telling this story, because as a South African company, we often have a psychology to talk ourselves small because of certain realities in our country. We are an amazing country with amazing entrepreneurship that has the ability to create magic all over the world. And there's so many companies in South Africa that have achieved that. I mean, my favorite chicken is most probably globally in the meantime the most recognized chicken brand outside that KFC stuff. If you take Krippy Crawlies, it's the only automated pool cleaner in the world. So South Africans have really been creative. Back to Spain, where Krippy Crawlies are abundant. So our spring walk into Spain is Mallorca. And we just opened yesterday a new office in Malta. We know those destinations to be mass tourism, cheap tourism. You know, sunburned Germans that drink till the morning and then flop and drop. And the British two bays further. So the island itself has a horrendous reputation for cheap mass tourism. But it has an upper end segment. It's got an incentive and event segment. It's got an amazing wedding segment. It's got this very, very expensive tourism segment. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg was on holiday with us there last year in August. So there's an absolute non-negotiable upper end tourism yeah. that the island is not known for, and that's what we're developing further. So we own a business there called Life Experiences. Mm-hmm. It's about creating life and experiences for people that are extraordinary in nature, and we're going to broaden that into the Mediterranean, into multiple destinations. Malta is just the first of numerous. I'll let you know when Ibiza is open, because I have no doubt you want to go for mother of all parties in Ibiza, sure. which is our next step from there.
Yeah, I've never been there.
We're not going to do
so. Yeah,
no, we're not going to do the cheap tourism. We're going to do bespoke. We're going to do high service. We're going to do. Great. We're going to do to everything possible to create an upper end market for those destinations, and I think that's important. And you know, in that context, people talk about over tourism, too much tourism into destinations. What we want to do, we want to contribute towards reversing certain of those over tourism narratives into certain destinations.
Well, I've got an interesting article here, the BBC's Travel 2026 list. I'm sure you already have seen this, but it's got the list of the 20 best places to visit. So they've got a balance here of unforgettable experiences with sustainability, cultural preservation, and community-led tourism. Sounds like a lot of buzzwords, but rather than overcrowded hotspots, which you already mentioned, this is about places like Montenegro, Uruguay, Algeria, many selections are tied to major moments in 2026, including new museums, infrastructure openings, global events, milestone anniversaries. Others showcase improved access to very remote places like the Cook Islands, the Komodo Islands. A strong emphasis is placed on regenerative travel. What do you make of all of that, Martin?
Yeah, I make a lot of it. I came back from Morocco yesterday. But I traveled with Mornay and some of other tourist executive team there to have a look what the opportunities are. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like such a microcosm of the global tourism environment. It's got these tourism hotspots that are overrun. And whilst they're well-known and whilst they're beautiful, Marrakesh is beautiful. You know, yeah. the remoteness of the Sahara on the other side of the Atlas Mountains, which are currently covered in snow, just is immeasurably more beautiful than that. So I think in a lifetime where all of us are overrun with information, where all of us are social mediaed out, where all of us are continuously surrounded by tens of thousands of people, to go to places that allow you to reconnect with yourself, with your thinking, with your soul, with who you are as a person through personal authentic experiences must be the future of tourism for those, unfortunately, that can afford it, because those are generally not necessarily of the cheap side. Yeah. But for the people that can afford it, I think this is where it's going to go. You know, Mornay told me a really interesting saying that I never heard before, but I might want to share it with you and your listeners. Is,
yeah.
You know, we always talk about you only live once, and that's why you have to do those type of travels.
Yeah.
And Mornay, interestingly enough, always says you only die once because you live every day. So you've got to make it happen right. every day because you live every day. And what we're talking about in this context, which is those type of experiences, the areas where there's no over-tourism, the ability to reconnect with yourself, I think that's what makes it happen.
Well, this is why we love having you on. And it's great to have you back on the show again this week. So thank you very much, Martin. And we'll catch up with you and Tourvest Destination Management soon. But if anybody needs to know about how to book and plan and think about the options in terms of holidays, you've got to go along to travel.co.za, which you will find Very simply, it's travel. It's the only word you need to put in. .co.za. You will find every option available there too, with all of the best deals and some ideas that you might not have had before. Go and check it out. Martin, thank you so much. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you, and have a wonderful day further. And I hope to see you soon.
Very good.
Cheers, bud.
Yep. Go and check out travel.co.za. And honestly, if you're planning in advance, you will probably be surprised at what you can get in terms of deals. I know everybody's thinking, oh, my holiday wasn't long enough. Doesn't matter who you talk to. They all say that, right? And it's dreary as hell, but it's the truth. That's what they – you always feel like I didn't have a long enough holiday, so you might need some more. By the way, we've got a brand new episode of Blind History coming out today. James called him King Kitchard the Third, but it's actually Richard the Third. James just can't spell. One of England's most controversial kings. I love the story of Richard the Third because it's been – turned into a modern story as well. They found his body in a car park in Leicester and dug it up, and they discovered just an unbelievable amount of information, identifying whether it was actually King Richard III was such a big part of that. And it's a fascinating story, the way he ended his reign and his life on the field of Bosworth. It's just a really terrific story. So Anthony Meader and I will be talking about that in the latest episode of Blind History today, and that'll be released at 12 o'clock this afternoon, so make sure that you are in on that. And if you haven't subscribed and put notifications on, liked and all of that shit, then you need to do that right now, especially if you're watching us on YouTube. A lot of people still prefer to listen to the podcasts. I don't watch YouTube podcasts. I listen to them. So I'm with you guys, and if that's what you're doing, then tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody you know. We're going to start this year, and we're going to be doing very, very exciting things together. So if you're not part of the action, you're going to miss out. I see Cassandra says, where can you actually book tours with Tourvest? I've tried the website. Am I looking in the wrong place? Again, travel.co.za, and you can give them a shout if you need to. All the contact details are there. They will help you put things together. Tracy says, Spain is absolutely amazing. Barcelona is incredible. Bitcoin Butt says, I've been to Malta. It's a place to experience. Extremely easy to get around the island. Again, these are all awesome destinations. It's probably cheaper to go on holiday to Malta than to Cape Town. Yep. I cannot tell you how glad I am that I managed to avoid Cape Town over December. There are people telling me about how great it was, and I don't feel any jealousy at all. Honestly, it sounds like it. All the same people I would have seen in Joburg. So thrilled that that wasn't part of my plan. There's a lot going on in the news that we need to talk about this morning before we get to Robbie Cruz. And as soon as he comes in, we'll bring him into the show. But it's really amazing what's happening in international affairs at the moment. So I think there's a massive realignment of politics, geopolitics, power politics. It just seems to me like this is one of those times that there is a major inflection point occurring, and you're living through history. And one day, if you have children and grandchildren, they'll say to you, do you remember that time when? And then they'll start explaining events that are happening right before our eyes. The situation in Iran, which we referred to earlier, the situation which we discussed quite a lot at length last week on the show in Venezuela. Now Greenland is at the fore. Europe is in a situation where, frankly, if Greenland was just a way to make noise, it would still be worth bringing up, because Europe has just abdicated its own national security or continental security situation to the US. So that's happening, whether we like it or not. And then there's also lots to talk about when it comes to countries like Britain. Britain is in probably the worst place it's been in 40 years since Margaret Thatcher. Britain has, someone said the other day, and I thought it was such a valid comment to make. They always talk about the British economy being, you know, punching well above its weight, but actually that's the economy of the City of London. The City of London is a separate entity from Great Britain. It is a corporation, the City of London. And yes, financially, there is still an enormous amount of power there. But Britain itself as a country is kind of a third world country. And people will be upset and offended by that. But the economy of Britain outside of London is tiny. It's agrarian. It's unimpressive. It does not smack of tremendous innovation or of great wealth. It is an unimpressive economy in almost every way. So when talking about the economy of Britain, you must be clear that you've got to separate the city of London from the rest of Britain. That's an extraordinary awareness that people have only come to very recently. The other thing that's worth discussing is that the British people are in an uproar at the moment about something that I suppose we in this country often get into as well. You know, immigrants come in and
they're taking jobs.
Used to be the thing that they're taking jobs. But in Britain, they're taking benefits. So the government of Keir Starmer, the most unpopular prime minister in British history, is under extraordinary scrutiny at the moment because they have decided, and there have been ministers who have said, I kid you not, these are the actual words of ministers, our priority is to house and look after migrants ahead of British taxpayers and homeless people who are British. And they're really, I don't want to use too obvious a metaphor here, but it's like, you know, you're poking the bear, you're jousting with a dragon, because the average Brit is just absolutely fed up with how little their government give a damn about them and how they're farming them for tax. They were talking about 100% inheritance tax in Britain a while ago, which is just absolutely insane. So you inherit a house from your parents. You have to pay 100% tax on that? People are just going to leave in their droves, and they have already. We know that Britain has the hugest outflow. That's terrible English, but they have an inordinate outflow of rich people. Millionaires and billionaires have just left Britain in their droves over the last while because it is not a country that is friendly to anyone who's trying to build businesses or accumulate wealth or invest in new ideas. It's just not one of those countries anymore. So they're leaving for places like Dubai. But the other problem is that the government has put into place so many stealth taxes. I saw two videos this week. I don't want to bore you, but this is, I think, quite interesting, about how Britain, the British government, is now trying to pay for things like migrant hotels by stealth taxes. They won't actually raise the taxes because that requires Parliament and commissions of inquiry and various oversight boards. So what they do is they put into play green energy taxes. So, for example, there's a wind farm in Scotland that produces a fair amount of wind energy. Wind energy is nothing compared to coal or nuclear, but it's there. And they've littered the landscape with all these windmills, which Donald Trump had a tirade about in Davos this week. And I don't think he was wrong. I've had my tirade about the windmills in the Eastern Cape long before Donald Trump did. They just make everything worse. I even got an email from someone. James, did you find that email that I sent you? Okay, I sent James an email about this, but I wouldn't be surprised if he just ignored it because he's absolutely shit at these things. This is from, thank God I'm organized. This is from Nicole. She says, longtime listener, supporter, and follower. I just want to ask you to do some research on the wind farms that you hate so much, particularly their benefit in the power grid and stopping burning coal, etc., and how long it takes to get the go-ahead to build them. My husband and son are two of the many, many people, and they're also birders, who do EIAs on prospective wind farms with teams of scientists and ornithologists. It takes more than 2 years of bird watching in all four seasons from sunrise to sunset on every prospective site before consideration is given. Well, listen, I mean, Nicole, I think that's great that your son and your husband are doing this stuff. It's massively important to do these environmental impact assessments, EIAs. So I have no fight with you, except that you say the benefit to the power grid, it's not as good as coal, it's not as good as nuclear. And honestly, there's just no argument about this. That's absolutely not an argument. Stopping burning coal? Why? We have more coal in South Africa than we know what to do with. What would you like us to do? Just leave it in the earth? Not burn it? Not provide people with free, cheap energy? Not free, but certainly cheaper energy than we currently have. All these green projects are just stealth taxes. And the only people winning from them are the Chinese who manufacture all of the windmills, as Donald Trump said this week. He's not wrong. You can argue whether you like Donald Trump or not, or you think that he's a blustering pain in the ass who's orange and you think he's evil. But that is the truth. China has made all the windmills, and they don't put them up in China. There's a reason for that. They also know that cheaper energy is better energy. And if you've got the coal and it's your natural resource, we should be using it. That's just obvious. Anyway, thank you for the email, Nicole. The point was that in Scotland, they've got this wind farm. The British government are, you know, massively into the green energy thing. But they haven't connected it to the parts of the grid that need it. So most of that energy goes to waste. They can't send it anywhere. Worse than that, for part of the year, they switch it off. And the people who are already paying for the gas or coal power that they need in their homes, in their businesses, have to pay an additional tax for stopping the wind farm, for cutting it off, for switching it off, which is ludicrous. So Keir Starmer and his government are facing an uphill battle that is not going to end well. People are talking about, on the extremes, civil war, but they're also just talking about uprisings all over Britain, a country where they've tried by the most crooked means to silence free speech, to shut anyone up, to lock them in jail for Facebook comments. This is not the Britain of free speech that we all are the great heirs of in the Western world today. Places that consider it sacrosanct for you to be able to say what's on your mind. It's a fairly important part of living in a free society and knowing you're free. This is not what Britain represents anymore. Britain has grown the bureaucracy to an unbelievable degree. And it doesn't matter who the prime minister is, because there is such a monstrous bureaucracy, quangos. They call a lot of these non-government organizations that are actually just part of the infrastructure of the bureaucracy. They call them quangos in Britain. These are enormous, metastasizing monsters. And to try and get that under control now, I'm afraid it's going to take more than any of the participants in the current British parliamentary system. It's going to take some massive overhaul. That's not going to happen in our lifetimes. So Britain is going to become a whole lot more complicated. Slippery Pickle says the UK is too expensive to visit. There are much cheaper, far more beautiful Muslim countries to visit. That's probably true. And Britain is also dealing with that, right? There are protests of women in hijabs demanding that everyone else wear less, wear more clothes, that women who don't are immodest. And there are cities where they've got, they just elected a Bangladeshi mayor of Brighton who cannot speak English. Now, nobody had a problem with diversity, but this is madness. How can you have the mayor of Brighton not able to speak English? It's ludicrous. Everybody knows that's stupid and ridiculous. There was a lot going on this week about a Welsh woman who is clearly also Muslim, who's been appointed health secretary for Wales. Flex, see if you can find a picture of her quickly, because it's made the internet. They're calling her Hijaba the Hut because she is morbidly obese and she's been made health secretary for Wales. Health. Now, she may be a whale, but clearly health is not something that this person should be talking about with the rest of us. Not when you weigh, when you're twice as wide as you are tall and you're four shits behind and three meals ahead. I just think that this is getting to the point where it's too on the nose. You can't even make fun of it because it feels like a headline from a parody site. But this is what people are talking about. Hijabba the Hut, which I think is bloody brilliant. If you get market value for your home and you pay the transfer and compliances out of pocket, not the sale, Slippery Pickle obviously talking about buying property, which was a discussion we had much earlier this morning. If I can't set up and run a thorium reactor in my backyard, am I really free? A very good point. Maybe one of these days it will happen. Maybe you'll be able to have a fusion reactor in a small box that will power you up for essentially free, and you'll have boundless energy in your house and perhaps in your factory, your business, or wherever else it is. It's going to happen. It might not happen in the next 5 or 10 years, but it's going to happen, and I'm excited about this. Let's make a homeless person the head of housing development, says Wade. That's kind of what it's like making a very fat person health secretary. You're showing that you're not serious. And it's amazing that we are still in the death throes of performative politics. You could see it with the EU, Davos this week. A bunch of people still going through the motions as if the rules of 1990 or 2000 or 2010 even are still the rules. Guys, wake up. It has changed. No one on earth is asking what Emmanuel Macron or Keir Starmer or Ursula von der Leyen think of things. No one on earth. And while I don't think that it's very clever that Trump is alienating allies unnecessarily, by that I mean the people I've just mentioned, I also don't think that the world is the same as it was under Obama, George W. Bush, Trump 1, or Joe Biden. It has changed significantly. And you have to wake up and realize that the entire international relations atmosphere is a completely different kettle of fish. If you think it's the same, I feel sorry for you. And there are people who are wailing and moaning and gnashing their teeth. We can't go back. It's done now. And there are also people who say, for example, that once this Trump administration is over, which is in 3 years' time, that things will just go back to where they were. They won't. They definitely won't. What's happening in Russia and the Ukraine is a big part of this. What will happen in Taiwan is a big part of this. What is going on currently in Iran is a big part of this. And yes, even here in South Africa, we know that our politics are not reversible. The ANC is becoming less and less relevant. Politics in South Africa will have less and less to do with the ANC in future. It doesn't matter who the ANC president is. They're talking about succession. It could be Fikile Mbalula. It could be, the deputy president, Paul Mashatile. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who that person is. They're not going to be as important as the ANC presidents of the past. Those days are over. And the same goes for the DA. It doesn't matter who takes over after Steenhuisen. They're not going to be as important as personalities. And I'm excited about that. It means that things are going to be new, novel. There's going to be room for original thought, for new ideas. Not a bad idea. As someone with family from there's this long word. Just put that up. Put that comment from Slippery Pickle up there, because I'm not even going to try and say that word. I don't like the direction Wales is going in. Did you find a picture of Hijabba the Hut? I'll see if I there. No, you created that with AI. That's not what we're looking at, Flex. There's an actual. No, it's not her. Now you're just being Islamophobic. No, there's the health secretary Wales. In fact, I think I might have shared it on my Instagram, but I'll try and dig it out for you. Maybe one of our very smart people in the audience will find it before I do. America's played the same playbook for 60 years. It's still going ahead. Megan says, no, it's not. This is a very different playbook. That's the whole point. There's that Welsh word from Slippery Pickle. That, by the way, there are places with names as long and complicated as that in Wales. So don't think for a second that that's made up. It might be, but it's it's possible that that's an actual word. Sade says Patrice Motsepe for ANC president. Who cares? I mean, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter as much. And it's not about the personality politics anymore, and it's certainly not about the performative politics anymore. You've got to be able to back this stuff up with action. You've got to be able to, I mean, you know, what's going on in Iran, for example. They are shooting thousands of people in the streets. They have cut off the internet, and they say they'll only restore the internet for ordinary people in Iran in March of this year. That is not a free society. And when people like Donald Trump say, well, we'll come and help you, he better mean it. Because if you pretend and you say a lot of things and you don't do a lot of things, people just stop believing you at some point. In this case, we know that there are a couple of aircraft carriers moving in there. There are, I think it's C-7s or C-2 planes. I can't remember which ones they are, that are heading over to the Persian Gulf. So there may be some activity there in the next while. All I'm saying is it is not a boring time to be alive. And there's plenty to watch. And I'm not talking about TikTok. I'm talking about the actual world we live in, the real world. There's going to be a lot of news in the next few months. What is being done about the too much crime happening in South Africa? The too much crime. This is from Limited Edition. In KZN, Joburg, and Cape Town, it's ridiculous. There's so much crime in these provinces. Limited Edition, that question could have been from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Nothing's changed because what do you expect from a government that doesn't know what to do? Twaksuk says, I remember years ago when you used to, the sentence makes no sense, but I'm going to try and read it anyway. When you visited London, there was that soapbox where you could just say whatever you wanted. What happened to that, I wonder? Yeah, you're talking about Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park. People are – just by the way, Twaksuk, you could argue that social media is that soapbox writ large, right? I mean, you're seeing everybody, the mentally ill, the stupid, the lunatic, the unhinged I mentioned last week how I went down this rabbit hole of watching insane Americans protesting in Minneapolis against ICE, blue-haired old ladies, old white women, screaming and shouting like banshees and accosting law enforcement. I mean, that's a soapbox of a kind. Do you want that, or do you actually want people to stand there on the street corner shouting? It's the same thing. It's the same kind of attention seeking. But now you don't have to do it by traveling to London. You can just do it from the comfort of your parents' basement. Because let's face it, a lot of these people are still living in their parents' basements. To be honest, I love South Africa, but I am scared to live in it. If I were rich, I'd move to a safer country. What safer country? Honestly, what safer country? That shit is going on everywhere. And you could argue that places like Dubai or Singapore are probably the best places in the world to live right now, but they're also very expensive. You don't get, we spoke to Martin just a second ago, you don't get the amazing diversity of landscape, weather, people that you get in South Africa, and it doesn't cost you as much as it does to live in Barcelona. In fact, we'll talk to Robbie Cruz about some of that just now, because he's been traveling the whole country and he's going overseas too, playing golf. He says he's the 31st biggest influencer in golf. He's measured it. He's done the calculations. He's figured out exactly where he fits in, and he's 31st. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a guy who's been a big – he's just going to cross it. Yeah, go across the camera. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. So grab a seat, dude. I thought you were a professional. There we go. There she is. Okay, that's Hijaba the Hutt. She's the Welsh – Health Secretary. Health. That's what she looks like without clothes on the left. In the middle is her being appointed the health minister. And then on the right is the interview that everybody was talking about this week. And don't say that I'm being mean, because if you make your health secretary someone who looks like that, you are going to have to expect a little criticism. No one on earth believes that Hijaba over there can teach us anything about being healthy. Nothing. I mean, in that middle picture, it almost looks like she's got a hunchback. Who knows what's going on there? Right? Fuck's sake. Hi, you, Robbie.
Karen, so nice lucky to see you.
It's nice to see you during the day.
Yes.
It's nice to see you. We don't have a drink in hand. I mean, we can change that if you'd like.
Yeah, I must say, you posted something the other day, and it also, and I basically posted the same photo, and you're like, yeah, I should come, you know, so high on the show. And I was like, yes, I'll be here.
Fucking right.
To me, it's mama made it moment, I must say. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. And you posted something about the nightlife in Pretoria and this and that. And after that, I promise you, like, this guy, then this girl, then this oak arrives and goes, hey, Gareth said, you know, you're the mayor now. You're the
are you
party.
Telling me, are you telling me I still have influence?
You have influence, my man. Speaking of which, you have influence. No, but absolute honor to be here, I must say.
What an honor for me to have the 31st most influential golf influence in the country here. How do you know that that's how influential you are?
You know, Gareth, I started off on this journey and no one would have thought that.
It's my journey.
I don't think I would have. For me, it's more of a creative outlet, just a creative outlet.
No, but hang on, you do love golf.
I do, 100%.
I believe you and Ben are putting some interesting shit together too. What is that? Because he never talks about this.
That's ball golf. We figured that in South Africa, and it's pretty easy to see, anything that gets filmed on the course is not that great. Any golf content is not that great. Yes, the Southern Guards, formerly known as the Stingers, they've obviously got more money. They've got overseas money and in South Africa, yes, you don't have that, but it doesn't mean you got to be, you know, post bad quality stuff.
Yeah.
You've still got 4K on your phone. Yeah. I mean, the video I just posted, I got producer James to shoot for me outside. You know what I mean?
Superb.
But that's it. It's easy.
So he was working for you.
He was working for me for a second.
James
was working
for you. Okay.
Not working for you.
No, clearly.
I must say, I think where it actually came from, and you'd enjoy this, the 31st most influential, when I was on radio with a good friend of ours.
Who? Roger.
Rian.
Rian van Yarden. Okay.
And we were, this was long ago, and we started a breakfast show. And after the first day, we had so many complaints. Day two, so many complaints. Our boss was fighting with
us. Which station was this?
Jacaranda. I think he still made a joke, a really, really bad joke. Can't repeat it. I think everyone tried to forget it as quickly as possible. Paid about a 50,000 rand fine and had to say this and apologize. And Gareth, the first of many. Like that. I think that's the most expensive show he's ever done. He paid to be on that breakfast show. And after that, we went through there were a few people that said, don't worry, keep on going. And Rian said, you know what, we're going to take our 5 listeners and we're going to take over the world. Our 5 listeners, if we say we are doing a water drive, a money drive, they will be there. If we're saying we're having a concert, our 5 listeners will be there. It's got nothing to do with a physical number. It's just I took that and the Top Gear thing. So like South Africa's 31st most influential golfer who also worked at 5FM. Or who also trims his nuts or whatever, you know. So you always got to have like that stick thing and then it'll never be better than 31st. It's always going to be 31st.
Okay, but you do a lot. You've got the media career, which we can talk about in a second. You own establishments in Pretoria as well, which are lots of fun. And Pretoria has become very cool. I mean, there's that whole Hazelwood area is just – it's very, very cool. It's kind of what I think Parkhurst was – a long time ago, some people might say it still is. But there's a different vibe in Pretoria. People are friendly. It's relaxed. It's chilled. You meet loads of people from all over the place who have interesting things to talk about. And it seems to me that, you know, that's a good business to be in. You're making people happy.
I think that to me is – it's probably the most satisfying thing. And I never thought it. I used to be a waiter. I started off as Chico the Clown at Spur. Because no, I told my dad.
Did you actually do that?
I was 16 and I told my dad back then, I said, I want to open a club in Ibiza one day. And I was like, I want to play for the Springboks. Or just do a normal fucking job, you know. No, this is what I want to do. He said, well, then you start right from the bottom. You know, you start as Chico the Clown. He didn't mean like physically. So I went down to the local Spur and started working there. I don't think he was too impressive.
Took him very literally.
Very literally. worked there. I probably still made, for the amount of time I worked as a waiter, like not bad cash back then. And then from there, it was Tux FM and that journey like started and whatever. But I was telling the producer earlier, or telling James earlier that
no,
I,
it's just the producer.
I just, okay.
Make a fuss of him. It works for you now.
Still
so.
Radio.
I don't know, it works for you. You've taken a, you've taken a massive load off my shoulders. I was looking for a new producer anyway, so I'm glad that James now works for you. He's, James, good luck.
He's
I'm very
on the
excited
market.
For you with your new career, your new journey. My journey, James.
It's my journey.
Yeah.
So I don't
what
know
did
if
you tell him I got lost there somewhere.
Where is it?
You were talking about
no, no. I was talking about
then,
your the parties in Pretoria. Yeah. So that's been fun, and I think Pretoria, what you touched on before my ADHD kicks in, was it's more. It's always been friendly, maybe a little bit conservative, like used to be. It's still a little bit, but I think it's more moral values.
I don't know, dude. I don't think.
I put my kid in an Afrikaans school, and I'll tell you why. She used to be in an English school, but then I moved her because every single parent I went and talked to, because who are you going to talk to? You're going to talk to a parent that's your size, the kid's your size, whatever. Right. What primary school am I going to? And I said, you can pick anyone in Pretoria, so long as the Afrikaans school is. And you won't believe how many of my mates, English mates from boys,
really?
From here, from there, all of them, are their kids are in Afrikaans schools in Pretoria. Gersfontein, Lynnwood
Law
School.
It's a values thing?
It's a values thing. And I think some of the English cultures and the private schools have got that, you know, all the kids have rights and this and that, which a kid does. I have a kid, yes.
Yeah, but there's schools, but, I mean, there's schools here in Joburg that – if you identify as a fucking cat,
you can shit in a litter box. No,
yeah, and they'll put up with it. I mean, what kind of how little self-respect does the headmaster or the teacher have for themselves to have to put up with this nonsense?
No, that's bullshit.
Some kid must come up to me and tell me they're a cat. I'll fucking spray water on them.
That's what Lynn, my wife, said. She said, Gareth is one of the people that will make sure this woke shit just doesn't go too far.
It's done, Robbie.
You have to. It is. In my opinion, she even said to me the other day, she's like, you know what? I think this woke generation thing is also kind of like.
Since you brought it up, and we'll get back to the parties
in a second. But just long story short, Pretoria, I just feel, has, especially with the village and the developments, become a little more cosmopolitan. So it's caught on.
Totally.
It's like Parkhurst and all the rest.
Yes.
Even Old Greenside and so on. Yeah. You can walk around. It's safe. Park your car.
By the way, we're not talking about
Slight Stelly's Field as well.
And we're not talking about like Borivorce rolls and Oaks drinking brandy out of a like cup. We're talking about sophisticated places too. It's cosmopolitan. Mm. It is Pretoria is exciting.
100%. We've got a pantry there as well.
That's like, right. Everybody's talking about that. So. Yeah. I just want to go back to the woke stuff and just how dead it is. I saw this clip this week, which I thought really hit the nail on the head. It's this guy who does a podcast, and he's got this chick with a nose ring and the purple hair and fat, and she's sitting there with like bad skin and, you know, trying to look as ugly as possible, which is what the woke people do because they don't want to be judged on their merits. Mm. So they think, well, if I make myself super ugly, then
look like a bull or with a nose
ring, at least I won't be compared to anything, which is not true. We compare you and we think, fuck me, that's horrific.
That's what humans do.
He said, because she started nattering on about feminism or something. And the host of this podcast, I wish I knew his name, he said to shut up. We don't listen to people like you anymore. We don't have to listen to this shit anymore. Because there was a period, like it got peak somewhere around COVID.
Is that the table
COVID
discussion? I think I might have seen that.
I don't know.
But regardless, it's good because
he just basically said, we don't,
it's not
the world doesn't want to hear from people like you anymore. It's over. Your time is up.
100%.
Which is the truth, right? Mm. And, you know, she started going, oh, it's because you hate women. And he just said, shut up. No one wants to hear this.
And we don't have to.
What about minorities and Islamophobia and homophobia? And he just went, just shut up.
But
no
those one cares. Those are the kinds of people as well, like the people that paint their faces. They're like, well, I haven't been oppressed. You know, people have been so nice to me at school and this and that, but I really need to be the center of attention. I really, really need this.
Well, a lot of them got that. It reached its peak, I was about to say, in like 2020 with COVID, right? That was.
But why? Because we were fucking bored.
Well,
probably
we were bored, but also that was the greatest amount of influence that this small group of people, who've controlled the narrative in society for much too long, they were at their full strength then. And for some reason, we all went along with it because I suppose we were terrified of being called names, which is so childish. And the amazing thing is that...
And I think even that is gone. Like, people don't... I mean, I
don't care what anyone calls
me. I really couldn't be bothered. No, I was walking in Menlyn and a couple walked past me. I promise you, not to even sound rude about it, I couldn't tell if it's a he, she, or a they, them.
Right.
But they were happily holding hands. Yeah. Nobody batted an eyelid.
But this is the point.
That's the thing. It's like, but the people that are offended on behalf of someone else... Well, sometimes
they're not even,
they're like, I'm going to go pick it. I'm like, why are you actually
not
picketing?
They say they want free virtue points. So they want to be able to say, I did something good and it cost them nothing.
Yes.
So they're claiming something which is valueless, but they think it has value because they want to, other people must think they're a nice person. And they want to be a victim because being a victim has for a while got you a lot of points. You know, if you could, it was almost like, you get the best parking because you're in a wheelchair.
Yes.
That idea.
But I didn't get that, so I'm...
It filtered into society. Yes, so suddenly everybody had to be the biggest figure. I was tortured when I was 3 by my wicked aunt, and she burnt me with cigarettes and sexually abused me, and therefore I deserve the best parking at the mall. No one cares. No one is interested in you or your wicked aunt or the cigarette burns.
That's
fucking shut up.
That is the best advice I've received again the other day. Somebody said to me, if you ever think that someone's thinking about you or thinking something bad about you, they are not.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, once they leave your conversation, the only time they'll think about you again is when that thought crosses their mind, or the money they owe you, or the this, or the that. But for the rest, nobody, Gareth, gives a fuck. No one cares about you but you. That is the most important.
So let's talk about some things you do care about.
Yes,
we've touched on the golf stuff, but running an actual venue, owning a venue, managing people – is a tough business. You've got the Goat, the View.
Yes, yeah. So there's a couple of us. There's 3 of us at the Goat, 3 owners.
Right.
And then at the View, that's my wife and I opened the View Rooftop Bar 4 years ago, and that was for us to break into the market. So after radio and TV, I had to prove to SAB and to not mentioning SAB. I mean any
no,
alcohol
yeah,
brands.
It's fine. You can mention them.
And I had to show them that. Wow, you know, you're gonna do this. I couldn't just go small and we're gonna do a little quaint little bar or a restaurant.
So we'll put up a gazebo lot.
So we went and did it on top of a roof that looks out over the Pretoria Country Club and Waterkloof.
Yeah.
Now you can just think the homeowners association area.
They would love that.
So it took me about 5.5 years since we drew up the first plans to actually opening the doors. I was still at 5 FM and then at Aris here after that, but all in the meanwhile, busy with us. And then opened it and we did a massive sponsorship with Corona and they look after us proper. We, one of the number one, most authentic Corona spots without a sea view, which is nice. So
that's
pretty cool. Yeah. The VP
dude.
From
well
Corona
done.
In Mexico, she flew in, came and checked it out. That was very cool. Got
I
to entertain
think
them.
I think
the American prime, not American ambassador. Yes. He comes there, then he's got 2 security guards on the tables next to him.
Yeah.
Him and his missus sit there and have dinner and drinks.
That's magic.
And then they leave with their 5X
flies. You know, but this is also what makes Pretoria cool is that you do have, you know, it's the capital city. So whether you think they're important or not, you've got diplomats, you've got politicians, you've got business people. It's a very interesting place. Rugby players. I mean,
and it is
Pretoria's
crazy
exciting.
How it's like it's, you would think, like it sounds crazy, but Gareth Cliff, John Ray Rudolph, and Louis van der Vaart walk into a bar. That's like, I mean, it's the owner of Atterbury Properties, and it's a Blue Bull rugby player, and Gareth Cliff in there. And that is how it is. A teacher, this or that. We've got that, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you do.
That's
it doesn't
cool.
matter. You're not clicky. Ons kan almal pelle wees.
For sure. Do you have to be there all the time, though? Because it is hard work.
Yeah, it is. But I think if you're not there, that's when it fails. That's the last thing. with a view that's very important to me. That's my HQ. That's my number one love. We also own Lucky Rodrigo, which is an establishment. Yes, I mean, we might be the owners, but it's Yan Yan, who rest his soul. He opened it 13 years ago. We're in our 14th year already, and we're just merely the – we're just looking after it for him. We're the custodians, and it is a place in South Africa and Pretoria that will be there forever. Someone will own it after us, I'm sure, but it is an absolute spot in Pretoria. Now, the view – sorry, just to get back to that, Lynn and I make sure that that place is running. Like, when you walk up there – it does feel like I'm there when I might not be there. But to give you an idea, I was there Monday, Tuesday. We only open on Wednesdays, packing out the storeroom, putting in new extractor fans, and. So you might not see all of that work.
Sure.
But I try to be there as much as possible. It's just, it is a difficult thing when you do own a bar where it's, okay, shooter turns into shooter, turns into four brandies, right. Turns into you're not going to be married in 2 years, turns into that. So, you know what I mean? Like, I want to see my kid. I do love my wife. She still lets me stay at home, which is fantastic. I try not to be there too late in the evening.
You know what?
But it's, for dinner service and so on.
It's your journey.
And you know what? This is the eat part of it. So is the pray part of it.
I cannot.
And the love part of it.
I cannot stand this. Everybody's got a fucking journey and everything. You talk
to
people.
And please explain to me how there are a million influencers doing the same thing. Bali.
Someone takes up. Look, I mean, you actually have to go on a trip. You have to go on a journey to get to Bali. But I hear somebody's taking up Hyrox or whatever, and they're like, my journey with Hyrox. You're like, it's not a journey.
You're going to a different gym. That's all.
That's all.
Paying 2,000 rand a month to flip a tire.
It's not exciting.
And tell people about it. Maybe even get a tattoo.
Stop talking about everything being a journey.
You'll be a hybrid rock star. That's what Hyrox stands for, eh?
Really?
Yeah, hybrid rock star. Oh, my God. I know.
You know, I mean, rock stars represent nothing. If not the opposite of health.
Our years, it was cool.
Rock stars drank. Hardly ate. They were mostly doing heroin. They were having sex with random groupies. Yep. These were not healthy people.
No.
How can these gym bunnies suddenly think that they can approximate anything close to rock stardom by pushing a tire around?
You know what? I don't have a problem with Hyrox at all, and it's being talked about, and it's people staying fit and whatever. This will change as well. CrossFit,
yeah, of course.
Change to this.
Remember CrossFit.
You know what I mean? CrossFit. Like, I'm a CrossFitter. I'm a this, I'm a that. Now someone that got a dumbbell tattoo. It's my journey, but it's my journey. You know, I'm part of it.
So, all right,
on that note of rock star, can I just – I've in the car, this is all I've been thinking about. Do you not think your era of radio presenters, that was like the peak and ultimate of it? I do have friends in radio, and
you were around about the same time.
I feel you just hit the peak at Sun City Valley of the Waves. And you just missed it, but you're still pedaling.
I think it's an interesting discussion. We were talking this morning about how there aren't really music stars now.
The gigs have been written.
There are legacy stars, you know, people who still can charge a fortune for a show. You still got the Rolling Stones, Taylor Swift, these people going
Celine
out.
Celine Dion.
They're selling tickets, right? People will go and see them. But there are no breakthrough new artists that are on that scale, and I don't think there ever will be. And social media has changed all of this. And I think that's the same is true. I want to hear what you think. But for radio, certainly, those days are done. I mean, there's still going to be people who don't know how to connect their phone via Bluetooth or whatever. Yeah. There's still people who don't know that the internet offers you a fortune of fascinating content that you're interested in golf, just for example. You can find hours and hours of stuff just devoted to any aspect of golf that you're interested in. If you're a Hyrox fan, to take the piss out of that just now and to give it credit, there's probably a wealth of content on that stuff.
Probably 100,000 different pages of teaching you the right technique and this and that.
But I think radio as a generalist activity, and it was an event, right? It was something everybody would gather around in the morning, because you'd all be stuck in traffic. Those days are done, because now everybody's listening to or watching something different. So the idea of sharing that experience with people, that's over. Mm. And I'm not sad about it. I don't get nostalgic.
And it also happens straight away. So if I remember when Oscar shot Riva, I don't want to bring, but that and Nelson
who
Mandela.
Who could forget the good old days?
The good old days, you know?
Nelson Mandela and Oscar shooting Riva. What a great time.
And we haven't even been drinking.
Those are the good old days.
I'm talking about radio. So I broke the news of Nelson Mandela that morning.
When he died.
Yes, when he passed away. Michael Jackson, when he passed away.
Right. When Dr. Conrad Murray killed him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm not even a massive conspiracy theorist.
Oh, Dr. Conrad.
Thank you. Okay.
I can't sleep. Give me some propofol.
That's what happened.
Watched too many documentaries as well. And the other one was
Riva being shot by Oscar. Yeah.
But you would have known that, like, because from him messaging someone else and calling someone else, there would have been a message here and there, and it would have broke on social media, and you wouldn't have had all that reason, because you've had 14 different people already giving their opinion on their podcast about this or that or whatever. It doesn't come with gravitas. If you know that you have, like, made it in radio, is when people say, "Jere bro, jy gehoor wat Gareth vanoggend gesê het." And that is lost, first of all. There's no more in the news last night. Sure, Rian Kruiwagen het, jy weet, gepraat. Dit was die nuus.
Well, I mean, I always think of much long before our time, when Walter Cronkite had to announce that Kennedy had been shot in Dallas, you know, and I think about the fact that these were faces and voices that were communicating and made an event out of everything. So I do think that time has passed. Now, probably most people are getting their news from X or TikTok.
Mm. But which is also disturbing to a massive degree.
It is, but at the same time.
You joke about the AI thing, people go, "Och, check it, look at this lion jumping into the safari vehicle. Yeah.
But what's amazing is.
And then he turns into a dog, look.
I listened to Constantin Kissin and who's the other guy he does the trigonometry with. They interviewed this fascinating guy about the history of news, right? And how in ancient Rome, they also had fake news and gossip, and it was out of control. And
starting a rumor back then with
it was easy. Wildfire. I mean, it did catch wildfire because people all wanted to know. In fact, they had essentially the early form of the town crier. So a guy would come out and stand there with a list of shit and say, "Oh, Decimus is having sex with Lucius's wife. Apparently, Cornelia has run away with her children because the husband was beating her.
So-and-so is a witch and will be burned at the stake."
And these were this was the news of the day. So there's always been fake news. There's always been gossip. There's always been bullshit. And that's
overthrowing,
okay.
Right? I mean, it'll always be. It's overthrowing governments from back then already.
Absolutely. And sometimes the government gets involved in the news and try to control what
and
you should and shouldn't.
Media and power. That's
absolutely. But I don't know. I mean, what do you think has changed besides the obvious stuff we've just covered? Because television, you've done TV shows as well.
I have. And I recently did a TV show a couple of years ago, I think 2 years ago we filmed it.
Which
one's
this?
It's really bad. Klein Paradise.
Right.
It was like The Block, but Afrikaans, South African version. And it was a cool version. Straight after that, I was nominated, luckily, and the show was nominated as well for a Silver Scatum Fierce, which was great.
Okay, well done.
Didn't win it, but regardless, if
who
you're nominated for it, at least your production was in there.
Who won? Nobody knows.
Remember. No, nobody knows.
Exactly.
Stop listening. Left.
just say you won. No one's going to check.
Yeah, no one's going to check, actually. So, so that happened. And then, where was I now, man? With
the show.
The show, yes. Oh, show. Now I've completely ADHD.
Plain Paradise,
yeah. So we finished filming it.
Jesus,
a year later,
you have trouble concentrating.
I have bad. But I've already pre-interviewed myself in the car on the way. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I was like thinking, what questions are you going to ask? Filmed it, shot it. It got good traction. People spoke about it. Nice. Hi, LSM watched it. And then all of a sudden, we don't have a budget for
season two.
Yeah. And I'm like, but there you go. That's in America, they give budget. And how do they? Oh, but we don't. Then run it like Netflix. Then come up with different things. Have pay per things.
I don't know. I mean, you say they have budget in America, but Hollywood has had the worst year in its history.
True.
This year.
Well, sorry. I mean more like the platforms.
But they're
going to take over.
Listen, dude. I mean, no one is going to pay big money to have a game show on TV anymore. Mm. It's not going to happen. I mean, those days are done. The only people watching that stuff are old people.
And that's also going to end.
Young people don't know. When you talk about the news, for example, actually switching on the news and seeing the news, it's like an old person thing.
But my daughter's 7. She's never going to know that.
No, she'll never understand that.
First of all, alive without a phone. She's not going to know that.
Nope.
And she's not going to know, not that she has one, but.
No. I mean, by the way, what age do you think you will let her have a phone?
One that can do like social media and all those things. 18.
Yeah.
No, like
yeah, keep her away from as long 100%, as you can.
100%. And to me, it's also like it's not a there's social media. I try not spend time on it. I try post on it because I'm not saying I use it to make money, but I use it to save memories from my time on Earth.
That's good.
But because I mean, if my house can burn down, I'll always have those photos and those little memories, and I can go back and say, "Hey, the story." So that's cool to me.
Have you seen all this 2016 stuff going around? Now?
Yeah,
I mean, that's
like,
nice.
That's cool. That's like remember when we just did throwbacks and we were normal?
Mm.
Like everyone on a Thursday posted something like their best photo ever. You know, every single Thursday. Hey, throwback Thursday. But yeah, so I just feel. She mustn't be exposed to those kinds of things.
Nah.
She must fake lives. Like if half, even my good friends, were as happy as what they are in their relationships on social media, if they were half as happy, G, half as happy, Gareth, half as happy, they would be thriving.
Yeah. And they're not.
But it's not. It's all an image. It's perception.
I just want to get to some comments here that have to do with what you brought up. Limited Edition says, radio's so dead right now. I'd rather watch reruns of Judge Judy or Days of Our Lives than listen to radio again. I did a thing. The audience is going to be bored with this, but I don't think you and I have had this conversation. I stopped listening to radio probably about 5 years before I had stopped doing radio because I discovered all these other things that you can find.
You know, if you like something, you can choose exactly what you take in.
But I also did it because I didn't want to be one of those people who left an industry and then said shit things about it. I don't have an axe to grind with radio. In fact, radio gave me an enormous amount of joy. I loved it. I became very good at it. I had a lot of fun while I was doing it. And it was a massive part of my life. So I don't have regrets or nostalgia or any of that shit. But things change, and you've got to be okay with that. And part of the exciting discovery of new prospects and new horizons has to do with going, I'm going to close this chapter and move on. Moving to a new house, buying a new car, changing your career, marrying a better woman, who knows? There's lots you can change. But to hold on to things, and I love history, don't get me wrong. I love studying history. I love watching documentaries about, you know, what it must have been like at any era preceding
that's
ours.
That's your vibe, you know that.
Sure, but would I want to live in that era? No, I think the best time to live is right now. There are exciting things. Before you came on, you heard me saying this is going to be a very exciting year in terms of geopolitics, in terms of the way that the world arranges itself and the new dynamics that come into play. I think, fuck, we're living it. This is way better than going back in history and imagining what it would be like because you're living it right now and you can actually play a role. That's fantastic.
Hey, you're also one of the few people that gets the whole idea of when you wake up in the mornings and you open your eyes and you look at like a tree or this. It's like, that is mad.
Yes.
Like, yes, I understand depression and there is this and there is that. And I've been anxious in my life in moments and I've had down spells and whatever. But when I just go like, I get goosebumps, but like driving here, yes, I sit in the traffic, but I'm like, how cool is this? Like, how cool is it to be able to, and 2026, I'm telling you now, like, of everything that's happened, and this has been progressive. Phones, cell phones, progressive. Yeah. This progress. It's been Not like if you get – if sometimes you get bad news, whether it's a cancer or this, and it's progressive and it's going to do this. This is a positive progressive. I think in the world we're living in now, we are going – South Africa is going the right way. Like, I think being able to live golf – I mean, at one of the greatest – South Africa's got the greatest golf courses in the world.
Okay, explain – because Ben has given up on trying to explain any of this to me, and he knows that my interest is just peripheral.
Fair enough, but I started because I think that South Africa –
I don't play a lot of golf. I don't actually give a shit, but everyone seems to be very excited about LIV Golf. Can you explain why?
It's – you know what? It's taking golf straight to the fans. And that's what they do. When you are at a golf course, you got to change it up a little bit. You got to wear funkier clothes because the young generation likes doing that. You must be able to wear flat peak caps. They've partnered with New Era. You can buy flat peak caps. You get – now, this is the merchandise. Okay. You get to the actual course. You walk in, you feel like a VIP. You get treated like a VIP. There's music playing. There's drinks to be had. It's fun. It's like a party.
Oh.
Calvin Harris is playing the one night.
Right.
Black Coffee the next night.
So it's...
And Goldfish one of the nights. So they go in and they create this.
They've made it an entertainment spectacle.
That's it.
Okay.
So take like the – this is almost the Betway SA20 version of golf.
Okay, where did this start?
So it was the Saudi.
No, I'm not talking about golf.
Sorry.
I'm saying entertainment.
Yes.
More than just watching a sports match, a game of some kind. And we've come to expect now that that's how it always is and always has been.
Yes.
But it used to be super boring.
Very, very.
You'd go to the rugby. There'd be an oak going, and he come in, no muddy ball, and he should be better.
You've done that stuff, didn't you, for a little while, you did those announcements.
Yeah. So you could probably do it way better than me. But that's how it used to be. It used to be boring. The Americans, because they had stoppages during American football, they'd have fireworks.
Entertainment
shows.
Halftime
show. Yeah. They'd have the Kiss Cam.
Most watched show in the world. Correct. At one time is the halftime show.
So they figured out how to make sport more than just sport so that people who don't give a fuck about the game would also be entertained. They did it so well that now every sport's doing this. I mean, Ben went to the Formula One last year in Singapore.
Mm.
And it was a spectacle. They've got Elton John playing fucking songs in between cars racing and things. And they've made everything.
But that's also why when you go there, it is a spectacle. It is something. It is an experience. It's something that you go there and you're like, wow, this is something incredible. This is something cool. But you won't – remember when we were at one of the Varsity Cup games, you read the credo, I think it was.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a
really?
Tux game.
They got me to do that?
But the reason I bring that up – Francois Pinault with the Varsity Cup.
Yeah.
He bought the franchise.
I remember.
Went to America, checked all of that stuff out, college football, this, that, and brought all of those ideas back here. The Monday nights, the drinking, the beer, the mascots, this, that, the races. And then that's how that whole thing started. Now when you go to an event, also even the rugby, like when we have a Springbok game, so I MC the game, halftime, this is happening, there's entertainment, Victor Matfield is chipping off against Dean Burmester, then we've got Two Oaks chasing Cheslin over here, we got that, and we've got PJ Powers. Boom. So it's like, ba, 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 ba.
Because there's a Cavalier.
It's either that special star.
That's Mango Groove. Okay, so.
Mango.
Tracy says this is what the Betway T20 did with the 2 million rand catch. The sideshows make it interesting for the crowd. Again, a very good example. It's like those multi-vids for short attention span people to watch a knife cutting cheese every few seconds. Mm. Well, this is also – I don't know whether the short attention span created this kind of content or whether the content has made people's attention spans worse.
Because videos just became shorter.
It doesn't matter who you blame.
True, yeah.
But the ability for people to concentrate for a long time – and you could speak to teachers about this at school. It's a major problem. Kids are just not able to pay any attention for anything longer than a couple of seconds.
But I'm in that. I was in that box. Dude. My daughter is in that box currently.
I think I was the same at school, so I don't know whether it's changed. Again, did the chicken come before the egg, or did the egg come before the chicken? I suppose we'll never know. They're paying Tebow Touch $450K per month just to keep radio alive. Shame, radio's trying so hard.
And Gareth, my radio.
Are they paying him that much money?
My radio in the car has got six different channels.
Yeah.
The car is 21 years old.
Yeah.
I bought it from my dad about 7 years ago. It's got a shuttle in the back.
CDs.
With CDs,
shuttle.
Yeah, six different CDs.
I love it.
It goes all the way from Laura Branigan to Queen, and then there's a couple of other ones. Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way, one of my favorites, and Lorica Rauch. I'd rather listen to that because I'm not even going to say who it is, but this is – 9:05 every morning. A massive, massive thank you and a shout out to the previous breakfast show that we had. Thank you so much. I go, do you know what they get paid to be there? Like, you don't have to thank them. I'll be with you for the next 3 hours.
Is that still going? Are they still doing that in radio?
Then they proceed to count themselves down and say things like, at the bottom of the hour, when? You say 9:30, man. Nobody says that.
Oh.
So in my opinion, I also feel like yes, you can have a bit of radio. Yes, you can tame your voice a little bit, maybe sound a little bit better if you do sound like an idiot in real life. But don't try church it up so much.
Still doing the thank you so much, the breakfast show, and you can still bottom of the hour like, sports?
I'm smiling while I'm talking, but I'm fighting with my husband at home.
Oh, this is it.
You know what I mean? Like that.
So
kind
nothing
of,
has changed.
Nothing. And it's also become – you can't say – there's nothing you can say anymore. There's really nothing – I mean, if you have an opinion or a this or that, half of the radio stations, if you do have an opinion on politics, then you've sided
you're in
the
trouble.
Wrong side.
Yeah.
You're in trouble. You know what I mean? Again, freedom of speech. This is where it's at. You also say, like, you know, you're losing a lot of that in radio, but what you are gaining is people going out and listening to, well, I'm choosing to listen to this. Mm-hmm. I want to listen to the Gareth Cliff Show.
Yeah.
So I click on the link and I download it.
Whether it's
episode 900 that I said go listen to.
I've got an idea. Right, and don't get nervous or anything. I always have to warn the audience because they get very pissed off with me. But I'm feeling like the game is to get more and more exclusive. So I traded in – I used to say I traded in 2 million listeners for 200,000 really good quality people who come and do what we do here.
Day,
and it might be more or less. I don't know. But the reality is the quality of the interactions I have with the people who – participate and even the ones who are not necessarily active but are passively listening and I meet them from time to time and they say I catch the show once a week and it's great and that means a huge amount more to me than people who are just passing by and happen to have it on the radio because you've got to go and find it so it's a relationship of choosing rather than a relationship of it's just on while I'm driving.
Yes. It's just there. It's like when you walk into a petrol station. That's what you're going to get.
Yeah, I'd rather have this 10 days of the week than be in radio and
I hear you.
Open to everyone.
100%.
And, I think it's going to get more and more exclusive.
So when Ben and I also with the Bar Golf, we want to work hard at it, yes. It's not that hard for us when it's something that we love, first of all, because we're doing it anyway. I love speaking to sports stars, celebrities, and that's the people we're going to play against. I mean, I built that network up through radio and TV. Now I'm just going to use that. Now I'm just going to enjoy that. I mean, like today was, to me, this is a massive honor. I must say, What are you talking about, man?
I've known you for a long time.
You've worked with into the universe that to get Sias du Plessis' job. That was my
so really doing I, sport on my show.
Yes, that was my. I was at,
didn't do much for Sias.
I think I was in matric. I think I might have been in matric.
Yeah,
and we were listening, and I was like, but it wasn't like I didn't preach it in. Like I was just like, I want to do that job one day. I really want to do that job one day. And Sias went and did the show with Roger, and I replaced Sias eventually. Like, how mad is that?
Okay,
I thought when I moved to Jacaranda at the tender age of like 20. I was like, no, there's no chance. You've handed in your cool card. Yes, no, babe. Radio back veranda. That's just no clout. Radio Cacaranda. Had the best 10 years of my life. Had a great time. and then move from there to five. That's also like, you know,
you usually go to Jacaranda
to retire. But no, and then I'd also had, it wasn't, it's not like I made millions. I had a great time meeting people there, working with people there.
Yeah.
It was an honor. It was like, people like, oh, but at Jacaranda, you could have probably done the drive show or this. I'm not even 40 yet. And I've had like an 18-year radio career.
Well,
I'm very happy. And to me, it's not about the fame at all. That's why I like
dude,
service.
You spoke earlier about that morning that Kostrian van Heerden at Fortune. Yes. I think that's the stuff that it's irreplaceable. I mean, there are things that I don't even remember us doing on radio that other people remind me of.
And then you go like, what?
I think that's fucking cool. You know? Like, what an awesome job. Mm. What a fun thing to do. Because we really got paid to have fun.
We did.
What a pleasure.
And we had people, I always thought, I'd never have people like calling me going, when I started radio, going, come tutor me or come help me, come this. Come. And like a guy like Lennox Wasara, who's on 702, and does, he's on there. Super guy. It's another guy that's also on OFM. And I'm like, that was cool because I felt then I didn't become, but I became like a Gareth, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I became like somebody that I looked up to. And I was like, that's very cool.
But you also, with the different stations, and you mentioned Jacaranda 5, Addis Gea. I mean, that's an exciting diversity of places as well. And it's amazing that we live in a country where you can have a like Addis Gea and then a Lesedi and a Metro and a and 5 no, FM and
Klobo
a
Weneni.
I mean, this is, I don't know how long it's got to go because, again, these audiences, there'll always be a mass of people who are just, that's their comfort zone is radio. But they're going to die because a lot of those people are quite old. And young people are not growing up with an awareness of television, radio, or any of those old newspapers. I mean, newspapers used to be a thing.
Massive.
Now, when you tell anyone under the age of 30 about a newspaper, they look at you like you, what are you going to bring out a gramophone record?
It's an old lady that I see, that I saw a lot.
Or a Walkman.
Yeah. And then, but it's, what did I saw a video of that, Sony Walkman.
Right.
But there's a lady that I drive past on the newspaper note, and she's not dead to me, but she's can't work anymore because they don't sell newspapers. So I'll never see her again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not, but we had that. Mm. She was, I mean, Branavintan, Geflak and alles. But that's what she did. You go and you buy the newspaper for a couple of extra bucks, 50 bucks more or whatever. You know, she's your lady. Now, that's a thing of the past.
Dude.
So it really is. And Laura will never know that you had to page through something to get somewhere. Like, I personally feel Kindles are great to a degree, but people are buying that book trend.
Yeah,
it's like unique restaurants. If you open a franchise, you're an idiot. If you open, not an idiot, well done. Some great franchises out there, 100% like Spur, and I'm not stepping on your toes. But what is important is to know is people are going back to simplistic, unique, slow time. I don't need to speed things up. I don't want to buy it right now. You don't have to throw it through a window while I'm driving, snack it in my face. I want to sit and have lunch with my boys. And we can, you know what? It might turn into a dinner. You don't know.
Like, yeah.
A few tequilas later, and we still might be.
Sure.
Sorry about that. So I feel that's slowing down a lot. People coming together and just the pace of life because you are.
I think it's also.
Lock in, bruv. You know, get it. Forex.
But it's also about quality over quantity because we live in this very consumer culture, right? Where everything is cheap and immediate and. You want instant gratification, but there's something about an old book that you have to page through or a restaurant where they say, listen, it's going to take us 30 minutes to get your
We don't make
dinner.
Fast when, food. We make
it's
fresh
not gonna,
food.
It's not going to come straight That's out now. It. So just hang on, calm down, chill, actually have a conversation person to person. We 100%. Were talking about this with Ben earlier. That stuff really matters. People are starting to understand that sometimes the quality isn't in the immediacy and the consumer culture.
Oh, the immediate
stuff.
Satisfaction.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, sometimes an old and beautiful thing is better than a new and shiny one.
So my parents went on holiday and they stopped in Ficksburg to add on to that, like an old thing.
Hmm.
They stayed in this old, old guest house.
Yeah.
If you make that new, it's not the same. No. If you change that, it changes. No. Colesberg must always have the main street, must always have, when you drive through here, as jy stop op Uniondale, die kerkie, die dit, Willemore. Like that's how things should look. And we don't have to feel bad about staying in that because where do we stop? Where do you stop? Do you stop when you are fully AI trained and it's you and your robot next to you and then you've made it and you can take over the world? Or you have an exoskeleton? It's not that.
Yeah.
It's because by the time that is, you're dead. You're gone. You're finished.
Well,
live now.
First
live in
of all,
the moment.
You're making yourself irrelevant.
Exactly.
Because you're actually taking the personality out of everything, right?
That's
so
it.
If ChatGPT can do it better, then go ahead. Then what's your purpose?
Why are you there? And that's why I always thought that, like, that's the one thing that will stay is just a personality. So fucking, if you can't have anything else, you can have AI dudes, you can have AI girls, you can go, you know, do whatever you want online with those. But this personality, you cannot buy it. And that, again, I worked
someone,
on that. Sorry, that's what I have.
Maniacally, Monica says, "Wat is 'n brandewyn tan?"
Well, okay, to explain that, a brandewyn tan is when you can see there's a dark shine. It's like a brown undertone, but then on top of that, it's still a bit red. And then some
it's from drinking heavy.
And usually those same people, if they take off their shirts on the beach, they got a bit of a leather back going. You know what I mean? Like they are. Yeah, that's the brandewyn tan. So, but you can see it, and it's usually a sitzwedazel.
It's like those old people with the liver spots. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. That comes from
and
a booze.
And if you gewoonlik as hulle al tante son of daai sigaret so trek.
Yeah.
Daai geel vingers.
And the oaks who drink like this. The arm is in is front it, of them and they drink like that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Do you have to deal with a lot of shit people? Because I was saying earlier, I love Pretoria. I love going out in Pretoria. I don't really go out anymore because I do think that the era of nightclubs is dead long
That's
ago.
That's dead.
It's dead.
Mm.
And I wouldn't go out
for
to
us,
places.
For us, not kids.
But I wouldn't go there anyway if there were places that I could go like that now. I think it's just a different life stage. But there are obviously shit people too.
Mm.
So what kind of things do you have to know and do you have to do as a person who owns – I think it's amazing that you've had this media career. Now you've got this other thing going on and the golf and everything else. But with regard to running venues and having to deal with hospitality and people, especially drinking people, what was that in terms of an eye-opener for you?
I think having been around it in this job, it wasn't a massive surprise. You know, like you'd see people behaving themselves at their worst if we're presenting at Belito Pro or this or that, you know, throwing themselves or being like this or being like that. In a lot of situations, I would have to leave the restaurant or the bar because, like, there's girls that are really flirty or really buying drinks and you know but I can't look, I mean, you can't blame them, they're only human.
Did you
I'm kidding. No, but then in that situation you like I don't have
unwanted
to wear wedding
advances
rings.
So, did you have did you have you know, like a whole bunch of girls like
often
hounding you?
Often. I say often, I mean it's not like I'm a GQ model.
No, no, sure.
I think at some stage of the night, like ambitions go out the window.
Also,
you know?
I suppose there was a time when fame, just being famous, was enough to get you there. I remember I was in Maritzburg once, and Maritzburg is a terrible place. I mean, you know, God bless it. It used to be quite charming. I mean, I went to primary school in Hilton, which is up in the mountains next to Maritzburg.
We met Mard all the years and also drove
through
there.
Sure, lovely place.
Lovely place.
But Maritzburg apparently, and I can vouch for this on the one night that I'm talking about, has an inordinate amount of cougar activity.
Oh.
So there are lots of divorced and kind of desperate women in their, I'd say anywhere from late 20s to early 50s.
Yeah. Well, it's a good spread. Yeah.
It's bad. And this is, I'm not by any means disparaging women in that age group or women who are divorced in that age group or even cougars, but they are hungry is the best 100%. Way to put it. They're hungry. And in Maritzburg, I don't think, you know, a lot blows through the town.
I don't think it's serviced that well.
Yeah, so there's a lot of kind of, you could see it in their eyes. They're like,
you do know.
It's tonight or never, you know. I got to tell you, if you're a single guy and you're in need of attention.
That's it.
From random women, well. That's the kind of place you got to go to. But it
laughing
happens.
Out, thinking there's someone sitting now going, flights to Maritzburg.
Araby Airport, yeah. It's going to happen.
Airbnbs, discreet.
Analog living is coming back and being embraced. That's a term, again, Ben used this morning. I think that's probably right.
Do you wear a smartwatch?
No.
I would never.
You know?
I would never. On the analog, I know it's not... Not literally, but...
No, I have a real dislike of wearing any kind of jewelry. I can't wear a chain. I can't wear a... I don't know why. It's not as if I've got an allergy to the metal or anything. Yeah. I just don't like wearing stuff on my hands and around my neck and shit. But I did for a while try one of those rings that measures your heart rate and stuff.
Oh, yes.
Then I lost it. Smart ring. It was a blessing in disguise.
Right.
Okay?
I'll be talking to someone like now. And the oak will be like this. When has that become
number?
You know that that's basically like doing this.
What is that number telling you that's so important if you're engaged in an interesting conversation with someone? If you have to look at what your variable heart rate is, then I must...
During a discussion with someone.
If you did that to me now, I would think, well... This guy's not interested in what I have to say, or I'm being boring as fuck.
Exactly.
But either way, it's not worth continuing.
No.
Like, cheers,
thanks,
dude.
Thanks for being here. I appreciate
nice to see
it.
You. Okay, everybody. It's been a fun morning. We'll see you next Friday. Really, if you're looking at your average heart rate.
I earlier wanted to post the link. I didn't even post it. Ugh. Now you have to invite me back.
Fine. That's fine. We can. Please. So Yolanda says here, you also got to talk about the Bronnevein nose. It's not enough to talk about the Bronnevein tan. I have noticed... That guys of a certain age, just so that people don't think we're sexist here, guys of a certain age, when they puzza a lot, they get like this big
It's like it swells.
And it gets a bit purple as well.
Mm.
And the pores
And it looks
become,
like they get holes.
Yeah, the pores become very big.
They're dead like that. Oh.
Maybe someone who's in medicine can explain to me what that is, but I've noticed it on some people, and it's not good. It's not a good look.
But it's usually one of these. It's also sometimes one of these guys, but say... So Bronnevein's at all for us.
Yeah,
sucky. You sell it over there.
We all know people
like
that.
Yeah, that's it. And he doesn't know like that, bro.
Yeah, dude, it's a big thing. You close the goat at midnight.
Slightly before, but you're...
That's clever.
And you know what?
That's a good move.
Yes, but it's also no under 23, really, eh?
Yeah.
So we don't... We do have... And that's why you'll enjoy it. That's why you'll enjoy the view as well. Because when you say no under 23, a guy that's 24 usually can't afford to be in an establishment like that. I don't mean it.
No,
but it is,
that's absolutely
it
right.
Is in a I don't have brandy specials. I don't want to invite a certain crowd. I drink brandy specials, but that's not the place, not the time. It's more an Aperol spritz, have a Corona, watch the sunset, dance the night away. That's it. And enjoy it. And don't overdo it. But for the rest, the goat is only a bar with no food. So we have to close at a certain time. Because alcohol,
but you want that.
You do.
Because then your staff don't feel like, oh, God, I've got to be here
until
3 in the morning.
Mm. And I'm not even a
and
fight
the dregs
is one thing
that stay to the end.
People don't fight there, which is great.
Yeah.
But the one thing that does happen in any situation is when a man gets drunk in front of women. That's the one thing you watch. So I make sure at every single restaurant and establishment that I have, females are the number one.
Yeah, you got to look after the girls. Absolutely.
And the number one rule I have at my restaurants is you can call anyone anything as long as it's neighbor. That's all.
That's nice.
That's the rule.
That's
because
nice.
Because every book in the world says love your neighbor like you want to be loved. Otherwise, you're not welcome.
Twuck Suck says, whatever happened to Puzza Thursday? No, it's still a thing. I mean, I don't do I don't drink during the week.
Have you been to First Thursday in Cape Town? A First Thursday, like
3 years ago.
Yuck, but it is massive, eh? With the closed streets.
Did you go away in December?
We did, yeah. We go to a little area in Grootbrug, just next to Grootbrug.
What the fuck is that?
It's, you fly to George. Do you know where Harold's flies?
Oh, okay. I call it the Dutchman coast.
It is.
Everywhere from Hermanus,
yeah,
right the way through to Plet.
Yeah.
It's Ali Bai's, Buffles Bai,
Hempies Bai, Buffles
Bai, Bai, and Hartenbos.
Hartenbos.
And it's just Dutch. These places I've never been to, but they're fucking huge.
You know, Hartenbos, I think specifically, had like 17 concerts in December, but like massive open air concerts.
Dude,
I filled them up, bro.
Okay, I got to talk to you about something.
So, yeah,
I saw a video. Someone sent me a video of, I think it was Butt Blast, but I don't want to speak ill of Butt Blast if it wasn't
lovely
them.
Place, lovely okay? place, right. Yeah.
Maybe you can explain this to me. So there's a bunch of people in the pool, and there's an oak singing.
Oh, Dirk van der Westhuizen. Hey, laat hy loop, my man.
Okay. And he's singing.
Psych it up.
There we go.
Na, na, na,
okay, you know, so this embarrassing shit that's going on at an Artie Kaffee resort,
yes,
or something.
Yes.
And I watched this and I thought, listen, I mean, I like the Afrikaans.
Yeah.
You know, it's my Mensa as well, you know? But fuck, that's embarrassing.
Well, you know what? If you and I were there and we were 14 brandies deep,
no,
we would be Goyo Seker.
No. James, no,
also that thing trended,
find a video of that.
Yeah, that trended.
I want people
hard
to see how cuck it is.
Because he also is walking barefoot with those, when I stay with clear keys, he got those.
What's that all about?
I don't know.
That's embarrassing. Come on.
Look, it's one thing having, like, maybe it's the music choice. I don't know. But having, like, a DJ at the pool and Oaks are,
don't get me wrong.
You know what I mean? Maybe the pool party.
I have no problem with people, first of all, having a fun summertime pool music, maybe a few drinks, you know. But it just seemed like a bad combination. It didn't look great to me. The reason it must have trended is because people were kind of,
yeah,
this is a bit embarrassing. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't
you'd
do
love
that.
It. You'd love it.
I would probably enjoy. I wouldn't be right in the front. I don't know. I wouldn't want to make the video. You know what I mean?
I think you'd love it. I think it's your scene. Petition to bring back Puzza Thursdays. Go ahead. No one's going to stop you. Oh, here we go. An explanation of the rosacea or Brana nose has nothing to do with drinking. It's got to do with being in the sun. And then Monica says broken capillaries and constant inflammation. No.
But that could make sense.
Yeah, I think it's a particular. It's not just the sun. It's got drinkers have a purple nose. I remember an Asterix. Do you remember the Asterix books?
Yes, man. Yeah, yeah.
They had a guy called
the alcoholic. The Aeneas.
What was his name? He had a funny name too, which, like, over-optimism.
Whatever.
And he was drunk and he had
Herodias.
A big, they drew the nose as big and purple and with lots of, like, paws and just, not a good look.
That is hard. And he always like that hiccup.
So we got onto Hartis, says someone, is the ultimate Artiekafia kamp. Mossel Bai and Hartis. I think you mean Hartenbos.
Mossel Bai is great. It's a fantastic place as well. Look, it's the only places where I actually get recognized, eh? Remember, I wasn't on. Okay, radio, yes. People will.
Are you talking about the shows on CakeNet?
Like CakeNet, yes. Oh. So Axel Dahl, I'll be walking there, and then some Tunny will be like, hello, Robbie.
But the other show that you did on CakeNet, so you did the Klein Paradise.
Bravour.
Bravour, that's right.
Like,
that was like
top billing in Afrikaans.
Like a magazine show.
Yes, lifestyle, yeah.
Was that fun or did you
dressed
hate it?
Up, it was very cool. I enjoyed it. I always wanted to do like a Ryan Seacrest vibe, and that was cool, you know. So I thought that was like the point or the pinnacle of that.
Yeah.
And it's always just weird if I look back on it, like I would do the links for the show and I'd randomly just walk out of a fucking mirror or something.
They would always,
like, I'd be doing a link like this and then the camera would come around the corner. I can still finish a link. Goeienaand en baie welkom by Bravo. Ek is Robbie Cruz en vanaand kuier ons by Gareth Cliff op The Gareth Cliff Show en vind 'n bietjie meer uit wat Ben Kapinski en Robbie Cruz doen oor baagolf en dan gesels ons oor of Gareth nog baie lekker in Pretoria kuier. Dit en meer slegs op Bravo.
You got it. Okay, that's spot on. You see, you didn't even need a script.
There we go.
I hate that stuff though.
It's not. Oh,
I hate it. So they asked me for years to be on top billing and to present. And I was like, no, it's just never going to happen. Because the idea that you're walking and talking and you're in someone's house.
And it's
so fake. I wouldn't be able to pull that off, and I wouldn't be able to pull off the dancing at the pool singing a song in Afrikaans thing. There's just certain stuff I can't do. I would be cuck at it, right? And people would immediately look. Here we go.
But idols, yeah, was check, fun. Check, check, yeah, check. There we go.
Oh, Jesus.
Back in vice. Hier kom hy nou, meneer. Kyk daai wop se lyfie.
See, I don't know. That, remember that act with his pants as well. There's a trots ding daai, né? A lot of money went into that thing.
Let's give credit where it's due. It was Artiekafia Buffelspoort.
Very nice place, by the way. Very nice. Stayed in those rondavels before. Really? Very nice place. I could all complain. I stayed there with
is it that klein paradijs
daar? Yeah, there's a klein paradijs. Beautiful swimming pool, rondavels that you stay
oort?
In. Dis 'n oord. Ja, dis Buffelspoort ATKV oord en daai was die Afrikiti Pret.
Oh, beautiful.
Dirk van der Westhuizen.
Is that what it is called?
That's Afrikiti Pret, ja.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's Afrikaans.
Yeah.
Makiti.
Yes, and we always
Makit,
like, yeah,
right? And then Pret.
Love
just in case you didn't understand the rest of it, there's
yes.
Also it's fun.
Yeah. Afrikiti groot baie lekker Pret.
That's it.
There you go.
Beautiful. I recently declined an invite from an old white timer who wanted to pay me to watch me give pleasure to his wife. And it's an old G from Maritzburg. People are creepy out there. Wow.
Now
that's
even
a hell of a story.
Even more people have. I didn't even see it going that way.
What a story! So you were asked by an old white guy to give pleasure to his wife, and he's an old man from Maritzburg. He was going to pay you, or he just would let you have your way with his wife.
Bonus.
See Maritzburg, dude.
Get on that booking form.
Top billing was so fake. That's why it was cancelled. The show was too high maintenance, apparently. No, it was a very successful show. Time just, nothing lasts forever.
And also, at that stage, it was the Genie D. It was the big names, remember? And we mentioned earlier with the radio, that was the moment. They were the presenters at some stage.
And
they were
great at that
they
stuff.
Were.
Listen, when I say I think it's fake and I couldn't do it, that's just because for me it wouldn't have been a good fit. For them, I mean,
great
like
fit.
Michael Moll, Genie D.
And Michael Moll, he is a very good presenter, and he does, were, like, yeah. That's how he is in real life. He's a great guy.
These are cool people, and they did it very well. You did the bravura thing now very well. I couldn't do that shit, dude. Everyone has strengths and weaknesses,
100%.
Right? And if you find that you are just not only that you work hard and that you're prepared to put in the effort and learn a skill, a craft, whatever it might be, you know, carpentry. But if you also have talent and you work hard at it, it's such a nice feeling. It feels like a comfortable shoe or a nice drive or any of those things that you really enjoy doing where you just feel, okay, this is a good feeling. That is how it should feel. And when you find that groove, and, you know, some musicians talk about finding their groove. That's just a real privilege.
So on that note, that was how I decided my niche and my, like, avenue is heroing people.
Like, yeah, you do that.
Because I don't think that, like, I don't understand how people don't. We love to see a hero fall. That is apparently the natural thing.
Yeah, I don't.
All over the world.
I don't
think it's the
through,
worst
no.
thing. I think it's the worst mentality to have, to build someone up to. Mm-hmm. Then when they fall, you don't back them. Like, I know it might, but I still back the Proteas.
Yeah.
Like, I will, I know, but I don't care. It's not like I'm going to stop. I'm not going to start supporting Namibia. But that's not the point. It's, you know, when it gets hard, don't give up. But if you, some people can't have someone else being better than them. Like, I can sit here and go, like, I can be an alpha male at home and look after my child and this and that. But, bro, it's your space in the sun. I'm just a guest here. And I like going to the, when the box run out, Palipulisi, the Siakulisi. And then people are roaring for them. I don't want to be on the field when I do that.
Yeah.
I sit in underneath the thing because it's not about me. No, it's about the Springboks.
You're an example of something that I heard the other day. Apparently the most popular kid at school, who would you say is normally the most – it's not the jock or the nerd or the cheerleader or the first team rugby player or any of those things. The most popular kid in any school and usually the most popular adult in any room is the person who speaks to the most people and likes the most people. The more people you like, the more they will like you. I mean, you figured this out, right? So when you say this, that you like hero worshipping, I mean, I know that what you mean is that you like other people. You and genuinely people like people. I can see you, but even when you are walking around saying hello to people, you genuinely want to be around them. There's no fake shit going on there. You're like, I want to spend time with you.
I never do anything. There's nothing I do by accident. Like, I didn't, when I got the call to come here, yes, obviously I wanted to be here, but in hindsight, it's good for my life as well. Like, for being the 31st most influential golfer, you know?
Well, we need
think
to,
about that.
We need to at least
That's
get you to.
That's the reason why we're here.
We need you to get to 28 at least after this, right?
I don't know. Like, to me, it's, and being, like, being in it, you know, being part of the moment when somebody says something. That might – I'm not saying they're not going to commit suicide because you made them smile, but fuck, what if you did? What if you did, like, and you spoke to somebody and they, like, they come back to your place and they enjoy – they might not even enjoy your food, but they say it because they enjoy the company they're in here. Or I might have just gone, like, this guy, you know, has made a new friend or – and to me, that's genuine.
I know.
I like hearing things. And people are like, oh, that's so boring.
This is why it's cool to finally sit in a studio with you and have these conversations, because while we've known each other for years, we haven't actually spent a lot of time.
100%.
And the truth is, unless I have people in the studio like this to talk to with the audience, paying attention, involving themselves, asking questions, saying ridiculous things, I probably won't get to spend time with most people because I actually don't want to.
And it's
the rest
fine.
Of the time. And you're busy, right? Yeah. You're busy, I'm busy, we've all got busy things. But it's so lucky to actually sit here, talk about this stuff, laugh about stupid shit like the Buffelspoort Arctic coffee at work. And people with bad drinking noses.
But I know I damn.
Because I think, you know, maybe that's how we'll be one day. Who knows?
But you also got to don't let people steal your good energy.
Yeah.
Go where good energy flows.
I love that.
And that's also like you've got a good energy about you and you've got good to give. That's why you also don't want to associate with too many people because they drain you. They mustn't drain you. People must pick you up and people must be good for you. Be good for the person next to you.
I think that's such good advice.
I never approach, and I'm just going to leave. Well, not leave now. I'm not leaving. I'm not fucking leaving. But go out in life and say, what can I do for you? The next time you meet someone, business, it doesn't matter. What can I do for you? If you are winning and the other person I met is winning and the other person I work with is winning, surely I'm fucking winning.
Yeah.
Surely I'm winning as well.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be. Mm-hmm. It's an easy situation.
I think so many people see the cake as only being so big, right? And you have to keep cutting into smaller and smaller pieces, and you got to get your piece.
It is.
Instead of seeing this compounding thing that you're
and
talking
about. And a massive
about.
Cake. You just need a small
growing
bite.
And growing and growing.
You don't need your own cupcake in the corner.
Yeah.
Eat from the big cake.
Right. And make it grow. Add to it.
There you go.
I love it.
Yeah.
No, Robbie, it's very nice to have you here, dude. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. I can't believe I'm a guest on your show.
No, it's so much fun. Let's do it again.
Definitely. Please.
And
please.
I'll see you around in PTA.
100%.
Okay,
thanks.
Dude.
But
thank
you. Are we done now or not?
Yeah, we're done. It's 9. We got to finish at some point. In fact, it's 3 minutes past 9. Too much. James, get rid of us. Let's go. Cheers, everybody. Ciao. See you next Friday.